tell your story. Hip the hip. And everybody, let's hip the hip. Read up now, hip the hip. Tell your story. Hip the hip. Oh, yeah, hip the hip. All right, hip the hip. I get feel my hip the hip.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California.
We ran a campaign that was uplifting.
That was Rudy Giuliani last night after a disappointing third-place finish in the Florida primary. In the next hour here at the Reagan Library, the former New York mayor will call it quits. He will drop out of the presidential campaign and give his support to John McCain. It's a huge boost to the McCain camp, coming just 6 days before the Super Tuesday primaries. McCain's expected to be at Giuliani's side. Later here at the Reagan Library, the final Republican debate before Super Tuesday. McCain, Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee, and Ron Paul will take part, but many expect it to turn into a largely two-man debate, McCain versus Romney. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Simi Valley, California. Now with more CBS News, here's Harley Carnes.
John Edwards' race for the White House ended today.
It's time for me to step aside so that history can blaze its path.
He didn't actually end his campaign. He suspended it, which allows him to hold on to his delegates and to continue receiving federal matching funds for campaign donations. CBS's Jeff Greenfield.
I think John Edwards looked at the reality and realized that except for a narrow second-place finish in Iowa, he had not come in any closer than third.
He has 26 delegates. Barack Obama will get 6 of them. Hillary Clinton gets 4. The other 16 are still Edwards to control all the way to the convention if he wants. The Federal Reserve cut interest rates another half point today. 3% is the new federal funds rate.
While the Fed statement optimistically predicts these rate cuts will spur growth, it's also pessimistic about the economy's overall prospects. Financial markets are stressed, it says. Credit is tightening further. More problems are ahead for housing and jobs. The Fed is leaving the door open for further rate cuts later this year.
CBS's Barry Bagnato. Fourth quarter growth was just 0.6%, too close to recession for comfort.
At the country's top manufacturer of helicopters, President Bush stepped up his campaign to get Congress to approve free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea.
You got people in this country saying all trade doesn't matter. I'm telling you it matters. It matters to our economy, and it matters to the jobs right here in Robinson Manufacturing.
70% of the choppers made here are exported, and President Bush said foreign trade means good-paying jobs for American workers. Mark Knoller, CBS News, Torrance, California.
The Senate's version of stimulus comes to a vote in the full Senate tomorrow. Then differences with the House version would have to be worked out in compromise. Wall Street today, the Dow lost 37 points. NASDAQ was off 9. High winds have turned out the lights and even killed people in this country. 2 dead in a destroyed trailer home in Indiana. 5 more are dead in heavy weather in the Northeast. That is the wind in Buffalo, like an icy drumbeat. The thruway between Buffalo and Rochester is closed, they tell us, both directions.
What do you think about this weather?
Oh, this weather, man, is crazy. This is a crazy weather. We didn't even see this coming.
Thousands of people are without power in 5 states. This is CBS News.
Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea.
Right now, Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers offer the Works Fuel Saver Package. That's a Motorcraft premium synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, fluid top-off, and much more, all for one low price.
Well, my car's running great, and my dealer got me in and out.
Oh, I'm happy for you. You're in and out, and I'm stuck to your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Come in, keep going. See your local participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer for special service offers today. See participating dealership for vehicle applications and details through 31608.
An Earth visitor to the hottest planet is still sending messages back home.
More than 1,200 days into its mission, Messenger has sent back some 1,200 pictures of Mercury.
We were continually surprised.
Principal Investigator Sean Solomon is with the Carnegie Institution.
It was not the planet we expected. It was not the moon. It was a very dynamic place with things changing very rapidly.
Including volcanic activity, says scientist Louise Proctor at Johns Hopkins.
The thing now is to try and find the source of these volcanic plains. But yes, that certainly was one of the most surprising things, I think.
Peter King, CBS News.
New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg has a bet with Boston's Mayor Tom Menino on the Super Bowl, of course. Each is putting up clam chowder in the local style and other foods to be donated to food charities in the event their team loses. Now, Bloomberg is from Boston, but as New York's mayor, he insists he really, really, really does love the Giants in this case. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Dad was complaining about his bad hammy again.
I know. He overdid it at the gym.
That's why he uses Tiger Balm ointment, right?
Yep. Tiger Balm helps with his bad hammy, the trick knee.
And the bum shoulder.
Bum shoulder? I didn't know about a bum shoulder.
Looks like we need more Tiger Balm.
Tiger Balm ointments, rubs, and patches give long-lasting relief to you or someone you care about. Got pain? Get Tiger Balm today. Available in stores everywhere. Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts.
I am busy. Busy, 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 busy. I eat, drink, and sleep busy. When I wake up, I'm busy. When I go to sleep, I'm busy. I am the king of Busy Island. So the first place I went to get my car insurance was Progressive.com because I know they provide me with all the information to make the right decision. It's simply one stop and I'm done. Boom. I'd tell you more, but I'm just too busy.
If you're super busy, go to Progressive.com and we'll give you our rates and in most cases other leading companies. It's the fastest way to save hundreds.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates may fail village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Feeling better every day. Great to have you with us as we launch another Peter B. Collins Show, originating from San Francisco. 6 days away from the California primary, and John Edwards has dropped out of the race. I know it's a great disappointment to many of our listeners, and we've cleared the decks here for the first half hour to take your phone calls and talk about it. 888-573-8372, that's my toll-free number. You dial 1-38 and 573-8372. Later on this hour, we'll be joined by a former Israeli soldier and a former Palestinian Fatah fighter. They are on a tour fighting for peace, and they're appearing in Santa Cruz this afternoon, about 5:30. We'll tell you the details later on. Also on today's program, a story we've been following for 5 years now, the saga of Sybelle Edmonds. It has finally surfaced in print on these shores. After several exclusive reports in the Times of London during the month of January, the American Conservative magazine, can you believe that? The American Conservative magazine has published an article by former CIA officer Philip Giraldi. He'll be our guest starting off the top of next hour. And we're going to share with you some of the details of allegations made by Sybelle Edmonds, gleaned from her work as a translator at the FBI, hired just after 9/11. And it is remarkable what we're going to talk about, because what Sybelle Edmonds charges is that a top State Department official apparently traded secrets to Turkish intelligence agents, and the expectation is they were relayed from there to Pakistani intelligence agents and the community there. And perhaps a bribe was paid to this top State Department official. That's what Sybelle Edmonds heard on a tape that she was translating, and we're going to hear more from Philip Giraldi about that coming up next hour. Larissa Alexandrovna returns. She's the managing editor for investigations at rawstory.com. We're going to talk with her about a couple of issues. Judge Michael Mukasey, the new attorney general, is on Capitol Hill today, and she points out a conflict of interest that the attorney general has. We'll talk about that. And also she has some interesting elements about the investigation into the assassination of Benazir Bhutto in Pakistan. That's all ahead, plus room for lots of your phone calls. The switchboard is open right now. And if you want to react to John Edwards' announcement of dropping out of the race today, which he did in New Orleans, I want to hear from you pronto. It's 888-5-PETER-B.
President's
special elections. Our planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance, another poor sucker who never had a chance. It's just another captain going down with the ship, just another jerk taking pride in his work.
Well, John Edwards was the last remaining real progressive in this presidential campaign for the Democratic nomination. And he had been saying, despite placing second in Iowa, which was a decent showing, but not what he hoped for, coming in third in New Hampshire with 17%, and then a weak finish in South Carolina, his birth state and the state that he carried, the only state that he won, in fact, when he ran for president in 2004. And he had said he was going to stay in all the way to the convention. Now, they all say that, and I understand. But I wonder what your thoughts are about the timing of his withdrawal from the race. Because 22 states will be voting next Tuesday. Why Edwards couldn't stay in for one more week and see what played out, I don't quite understand right now. Just last night, when I sat in on Air America's John Elliott program, we talked with John Nichols from The Nation, who's been frequently on this program covering the primaries. He was live from Minneapolis, and he made the case that John Edwards was working hard in Minnesota and a number of other states with strong middle-class working populations who vote Democratic, and that the Edwards secondary strategy, since he didn't win Iowa, and he didn't win South Carolina in particular, was to build up enough delegates so he could be a broker at a very tight convention, because it appeared, based on the polls a week ago, that Obama and Clinton would seesaw back and forth through the remainder of the primaries, and it might come to the convention to make the selection of the Democratic nominee. Well, things are changing rapidly, and based on polling information that I saw in the San Francisco Chronicle today, Obama is picking up steam in California as a result of some of his early wins and the second-place finish in New Hampshire. And so we can speculate at this point, is there some sort of an understanding between Obama and Edwards that for Edwards' withdrawal, which I think could help Obama, but maybe not as much as Clinton, because, you know, from the early split of the votes, we have seen Clinton and Edwards sharing the white vote in many cases, at least in the states with significant minority populations, Hillary winning the Latino vote. And Edwards was, you know, in a position there where he had a sufficient claim to Democratic votes, mostly Caucasians, that you know, I felt he could keep going. So I know many of our listeners are disappointed by this. I wanted to open up the phones here. We'll go to the calls here in just a second. The other thing I wanted to mention is that another guest who was on with me on Air America last night was Senator Mike Gravel. And I told Mike Gravel what I've told you, using my Hollywood Squares analogy, that I am voting Obama to block because my primary goal is to deny Hillary Clinton the nomination. I don't think she would be good for the party. I think she could be an okay president, but I really think it's time for a change. I don't like the dynasty politics. I don't like the way she voted on the war and more recently on the Kyle Lieberman resolution. And frankly, her claims of experience are undermined by the my negative views of what she cites as her great experience in the United States Senate. So those are some of the issues on my mind. But Mike Gravel kind of lectured me. He said, Peter, I don't think that's the way to cast your vote. He said, in a primary, you should vote your conscience. You should vote your values. And he wasn't making a pitch for me to vote for him. He said, if John Edwards comes closest to your positions, even if he's polling in third place, you should vote for him. Well, I was ruminating about that. I can't say that I was firmly going to change my mind. But he does make a good point. And now Californians are denied the opportunity to support John Edwards and his issues about poverty, about the great divide in America, his attacks on corporations, which I think were not angry. They were well-placed and well-deserved. And so I am among those who are deeply disappointed that John Edwards has dropped out, particularly at this stage of the primary process. Let's go to Rachel in Davis first. Welcome, Rachel. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I've called you once before. Talk about being disappointed. My husband and I both watched the speech this morning and walked away with tears. Mm-hmm. And there are people that I know who are supporting Hillary and also Obama who were very disappointed. They wanted him to stay in the race, and I've already voted for him.
Oh.
So how about that? But I understand that because he stays in the race, he can keep, and he suspended but didn't drop out completely. He can keep his delegates and go to the convention and use those delegates, you know, to sway other people perhaps. So I'm happy I voted for him.
Okay, but if that's the case, why didn't he at least wait a week? 22 states, half the delegates are up for grabs next Tuesday.
That's what I don't understand. I was very disappointed in that. I made that very same statement to my husband, that why wouldn't he have stayed in the race and gotten what he could get? Is there another reason? Is somebody, you know, what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why I'm disappointed.
And, you know, I like a lot of things about John Edwards, but he is a very polished and highly disciplined politician.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, he will not volunteer anything that he doesn't want us to know.
Uh-huh. Well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it. But I really was disappointed. I supported him from the outgo. You know, I just never wavered and changed. I've had friends who are going for Kucinich and perhaps, and also for Hillary and Obama, and giving good arguments, but I can't vote for Hillary. I mean, I will if she's the final, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Democrat, because I can't vote for a Republican. And
yes.
Not these people who are running right now.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, I am really sad.
Thank you, Rachel. Let's go to, my screen moved. We're going to Sacramento. Carol, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, yes. I was an Edwards supporter back in 2004 in the primary. I voted for him, and I was glad when he was chosen as the vice presidential candidate by Kerry. And then I was going to vote for him again because I like him on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And he's my kind of Democrat, and so, as a matter of fact, was Dennis Kucinich, but I thought that, you know, Edwards had more pull, you know, more support than Kucinich.
Yeah. More traction, more electability.
Yeah, more electability.
Yeah.
But, and so I was kind of disappointed that he did pull out, and now I was faced, you know, choosing between Barack and Hillary. Well, actually, for me, that's kind of a no-brainer because I have watched the debates, and in the last debate, both Hillary and John supported universal health care for all Americans, and this is an issue very dear to my heart because I'm on disability now, but for many years I worked, even in full-time jobs, with no medical coverage, and I couldn't afford to buy it on my own.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that Obama is going to leave out 15 million Americans with his health care proposal, I think is just, I won't say criminal, but it's really cruel.
Well, it is one of his negatives, and I've done a little research with healthcare experts in Illinois, and when he was a state senator there, he whiffed on single payer.
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
the ideal one, single payer. Yeah,
yeah. So it is a deficit there. There's no question about it. For me, Carol, you know, the healthcare issue is very important. But I think whoever is president is going to run into the buzzsaw of who are those characters? Harry?
Yes, I know. The husband and wife will
right.
be from the...
And all that money from K Street and from the pharmaceutical companies.
The point is that Democrats remember, support our congressional elections. I come from a safe Democratic district with Doris Matsui, but a lot of others give money to the House campaign and to the Senate campaign so that the Democrats can have veto-proof majorities in case we get stuck with a Republican.
Yeah.
Now,
Carol, I got to... I'm sorry.
The Democratic
Carol,
nominee
I hear you.
In November.
I got to run to a break. Sorry. We'll take more of your calls in a moment. Thank you, Carol. Peter B. Collins here, 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join us. And visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner
You're
of Dewey
listening
and
to
Old
KRXA,
just 2 blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient proactive staff, trained certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We Democrats are bummed to think we somehow lost again.
We haven't been in power since, gosh, I can't remember when. We need a winner, and we don't mean a Republican.
Ooh, ooh, do you know who it should be?
All we want is a candidate
who can win in 2008
and carry one red state. Oh, would that be Hillary? Someone to get the White House back,
give the right wing a heart attack.
A gay,
a Jew,
a black.
Oh, couldn't it be Hillary.
That's the Capitol Steps, and that song was written before Barack Obama ever entertained entering the race. Kind of interesting. We're taking your phone calls here about John Edwards' withdrawal announced today, and Paul joins us from Carmichael. Hello, Paul. Paul, are you there? I got the right gizmo up. Maybe you can't hear me. How about this, Paul? Can you hear me? Hello. Okay, I guess we lost Paul. In the message, it said that he had made a contribution to the Edwards campaign last night. Ouch. Susan in Soquel, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello.
Hi, Susan. I see. How about now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Okay. I apologize to Paul there.
It's all right.
I made some tweaks on the phone here, and I think I did it wrong. So,
well,
Susan, I know that you were a Kucinich supporter, and you were disappointed when Dennis pulled out.
Right.
And now you've got to face this.
I'm double disappointed.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like there's any choice. There's no choice. It's like, you know, there's the Republicans and there's the Demo-hypocrats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really difficult. And I do want to say this. I think it was KGO I was listening to the other night, and a woman called who identified herself as black and as a lawyer. She sounded like she might be in her 30s or early 40s. And she said she'd done a huge amount of research on Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And was really not for him at all. Said that one of the things she said was that he's getting money from donors that he's not disclosing, and he has closed door meetings, and that has turned her off so completely.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, you know, the thing that I keep hearing when I hear people talk about Obama is, oh, how great he is, and how, you know, it's a campaign of hope, but nobody ever has anything to say about what he stands for. No one.
Yeah, I've described it as a lack of political calories, you know.
Yeah, it's a charismatic, flashy campaign. And another thing, the thing about him that for me personally turns me off, and this is at the gut level, is you know how Bush has that fake Texas accent?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Obama has no reason to have an American black style accent, but he does. And that drives me a little nuts because it has to be something he cultivated.
Well, he turns it on when he goes to the South. I have seen that myself. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah,
let me jump back to Paul. Paul, I'm sorry. I screwed up there and you couldn't hear me. So
that's okay.
Thanks for ringing back. And you going to get your money back?
No. I think they'll put it to use. But I was just telling your person there that after the election, at the results last night, I emailed another contribution in to John Edwards, and because he's really, I decided well over a year ago that he was the guy I would support all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also mailed my absentee ballot in with his name on it.
Yeah.
So I'm baffled.
I'm
disappointed in him personally because I think he has worked very hard on the issues that he's wanted to present. He's certainly broadened the debate. He's brought up content where nobody else is doing it.
I agree, and there's another debate tomorrow in Los Angeles, and I wish his voice were there. And I did not expect him to stay in forever, given the poor showings that he's had so far. But I did hope that he would stay on through Super Tuesday to rack up more delegates and again, to be part of the debate. His voice has been so valuable. And now we're going to have the two corporate candidates who won't bring up the uncomfortable issues that that John Edwards was willing to confront. So thank you, Paul. I appreciate you calling and calling back. We got to take a break. We're going to return and change the subject, but we will resume talking about John Edwards in the presidential race in our Free Speech Zone, 5 o'clock Pacific. So stick around for that. 28 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, fighters for peace, an Israeli and a Palestinian on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, worldwide investing through the eyes of experience for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Return with us now to 75 years ago today, when radio station WXYZ in Detroit began a cowboy series that would make broadcasting history.
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger.
The story after this.
Homeowners, is your adjustable rate mortgage scheduled to go up? or even worse, has it started climbing already? Are you paying more than 6.5% on a fixed-rate mortgage? If so, you need to act now, because waiting can really cost you. In just minutes on the phone, you can get a free mortgage evaluation from Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Quicken Loans is the easiest way to get a home loan. It's fast. You could have a check in as little as 15 days. It's convenient, with less paperwork and a closing right in your home. It's easy. Call now for fixed rates around 5.99%, APR 6.22%. You could save thousands with a rate around 5.99%, and our exclusive process makes saving money easier than ever. Call Quicken Loans for your fixed rate around 5.99% with no prepayment penalty. Call 800-670-3611. That's 800-670-3611. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-670-3611.
The story of a former Texas Ranger and his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, touched a chord in Depression-era America. Before too long, the show was being broadcast coast to coast. The radio series ran from 1933 to 1954, 2,956 episodes in all, with Brace Beamer in the lead role for most of those years, and Fred Foy as the all-knowing announcer.
The Lone Ranger!
But even before the radio series had ended, the Lone Ranger had saddled up for his own TV series, with Clayton Moore in the starring role for most of its run.
Come on, Tonto. We have more work to do. Adios.
While always leaving behind the same unanswered question. Who was that masked man? Even after the TV show ended, Clayton Moore kept up his masked man public appearances, resorting to wraparound sunglasses for a time when a movie studio tried to strip him of his mask during a dispute over rights. In the end, Clayton Moore won that legal battle. He remained the Lone Ranger until the day he died in 1999 at age 85. Of course, as all his fans know, the Lone Ranger never died. And he continues to stir his fans to this very day. Hi-oh, Silver! Away!
The Osgood Files. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates, especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
One, two, three, four.
No justice, no peace. In this half hour, we present two voices fighting for peace between Israel and Palestine. One is a Palestinian, a former Fatah fighter who lost his daughter 1 year ago in the conflict, and the other is a former Israeli soldier. We are joined by Bassam Aramin and Elik Elhanan, and they are touring in the San Francisco Bay Area over the next week or so, and it is called Combatants for Peace. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. Let me start with Bassam Aramin. Sir, thank you for your advocacy, and thank you for bringing your message to the United States, because we need to understand the human factors related to the occupation of Palestine and the way a huge prison has essentially been developed there, and also to understand the roots of the conflict and the Israeli side, which is well presented in the American media, but often in a one-dimensional way. So thank you for forming Combatants for Peace, and thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you a lot. In fact, thank you for giving us this opportunity to talk to the people, to speak to them through your program. This organization, we created before three years, this courage and moral group jointly from Palestinian and Israeli. The Israeli side is soldiers, ex-soldiers who have been served in the occupied territories for a long time, and they practiced the occupation of the Palestinian people, and they reached to the point that they don't want to be part of the suffering of the Palestinian people. They don't agree to practice illegal orders to killing Palestinians, and they refuse with the courage and loudly. The Palestinian side is a people who spent many years from their life in the Israeli jails, and there was ex-militant and ex-fighters.
Well, sir, and you have spent 7 years yourself in jail.
And like me, exactly, I spent 7 years when I was 17. We reached to the point that this conflict cannot be solved in a military solution.
Mm-hmm.
For that, why we are dying, we must protect our civilians and our children. And we create this this moral, as I said, and courage organization. The same people who used to kill one each other now fighting together, hand by hand, against our common enemy, which the occupation, we consider it the source of the violence and terrorism in our region.
Mm-hmm.
The occupation is to prevent the Palestinian and the Israeli to live together. The violence, actually more than 60 years, we are fighting one each other. And Israel is not safe. Palestine is not free. We must find another way to fight. We will never accept the occupation. But we discover that our voices that you mentioned before, our voices, we are fighting with our voices.
Mm-hmm.
It's our truth. And the effective weapon is non-violent struggle against this kind of occupation,
mm-hmm.
jointly Palestinian and Israeli, to get our freedom as Palestinians, and the Israelis can liberate themselves from to be occupiers.
Right. And Bassam Aramin, in addition to spending 7 years in jail, you lost your daughter just a year ago. On January 16th of 2007, Abir was shot in the head by an Israeli border police. And I'm sure that loss is part of what motivates you to fight for real peace at this time.
Actually, yeah, it was the most black day in my life. No one can know the bitterness of this pain to lose your daughter or your child for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Abir wasn't a fighter. She don't belong to any Palestinian faction, not Hamas and not Fatah. She was just a child.
Sure.
And absolutely, I can. It's very easy to revenge. It's very, very easy to go to the other way. But I said for Abir blood, for Abir soul, for Abir brothers and sisters. I have another five children. I want to protect them, and I want to protect my Israeli children also, who are innocent people. We must double our efforts to save our civilians. This war is against the civilians, just the civilians paying the price. And actually, the Israeli police, they opened investigation in my case after 3 days. And as usual, they closed the file after 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I am here just to ask for justice. I don't want to revenge. To revenge means we will stay in the same circle of violence and the bloody. Because we are unique people, we are moral people, we want to ask just for justice. And I will, I determined to bring this killer or this hero to the justice to prove to myself that there is a difference between violence and justice.
That's Bassam Aramin. I'm sorry, Bassam Aramin, a Palestinian, a former Fatah fighter. And just as a point of information, according to the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem, 864 Palestinian minors have been killed since 2000, and not one case has been brought to justice. Also with us is Elik Elhanan. He is a former member of the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Forces. And according to the information I have, Elik, your younger sister was killed in a suicide bombing attack.
Yes, that's true.
And tell me what motivates you to take on this Combatants for Peace campaign.
What motivates me to take on this Combatants for Peace campaign, and not only this Combatants for Peace campaign, but this is like the most recent chapter in some time of activism, is this notion that the occupation is illegal, that the occupation is immoral, and that the occupation is killing us, that the occupation constitutes the greatest danger for the existence of Israel, much greater than the Arab world or anti-Semitism or the bomb of Ahmadinejad. What we are doing to ourselves is what is destroying us. I was not motivated to start struggling or to have moral opinions because my sister was killed. But because my sister was killed, I came to the realization that, well, I must act, that I can't be silent, that I have to do anything, and that this is the one most important thing.
Well, and Elik, I have to say that, and tell me if you're finding as you conduct this tour, a speaking tour across the United States, if you're hearing from Americans in a similar way. But I think because of our misguided attack on Iraq and the occupation that has ensued now for 5 years, that we have some sense of the ugliness of being an occupying power. The way it unifies those who are being occupied and causes them to use any means available, from throwing rocks to launching missiles to suicide bomb attacks. And fundamentally, an occupation cannot continue when it doesn't address the basic needs for security, justice, and respect for those who are being occupied. I mean, in some cases, you can imagine it's necessary to rebuild a country, to stabilize a country. But long-term occupations are untenable, and often, you know, it's pretty clear to describe them as unjust and inhumane. And I find it somewhat ironic that after we invaded Iraq, that Bush and Tony Blair had a meeting to discuss the occupation of Iraq, and the place they held it was in Northern Ireland, where the British have maintained an occupation for decades. And it's just mind-boggling to me that our leaders don't have the same understanding of occupation, either from the point of view of the superior force or those who are being subjected.
I agree with what you say completely. I don't think you are fully aware of the ugliness of the occupation. Wait 40 years in Iraq, and you'll see how it will devastate your society as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we only are starting to understand.
Yeah.
And, of course,
completely.
You know, we're not so far. We haven't had Sunni or Shia fighters from Iraq come to the United States and launch missiles into our territory or conduct suicide bombings.
Yeah, but I'm speaking other than that. Like, the lawless behavior of the occupation, this distinguishing between blood and blood, the extremely racist premises that are behind every occupation that gives one group the right to govern another group, is disastrous. As disastrous as the suicide bombing, as disastrous as any weapon that one can use.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that occupation is the complete contradiction of democracy, and that any person who holds democracy and human rights close to his heart should struggle against occupation. When I view the right of self-determination as a fundamental human right, not only the right not to be tortured in investigation.
Mm-hmm. Elik Elhanan, you served in the Israeli Defense Force. Did you end up deployed in the occupied territories, or did you have any role in controlling Palestinians?
Frankly, not that much. I served between 95 and 98. These were the good days of Oslo, where allegedly we were in a peace process.
Right.
I did most of my service in the occupied territory in Lebanon.
Okay.
Where contact with the civil population was pretty scarce, but I was several times in the occupied territories, an experience that, well, every time shook me and left me completely rattled.
Mm-hmm.
And made me realize that in reality what I'm doing is not protecting and not defending, but maintaining a political project that I find criminal. And not only that, that I don't assure the security of anyone. Quite on the contrary, I assure the insecurity of everyone.
Yeah. That is the voice of a former Israeli soldier, Elik Elhanan. As we mentioned, he lost his younger sister to a suicide bombing attack. And these two gentlemen will be appearing in Santa Cruz this evening. The event starts at 5:30 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. That's in Santa Cruz. They have an array of events around the Bay Area. I'll try to touch on them in the next segment and get a pencil and paper, and maybe you can catch the information of an appearance that is closest to you. Bassam, let me ask you another question. What is your sense of the U.S. support for the Israeli government, and in particular the so-called roadmap to peace, and now the new process that Bush and Condoleezza Rice have launched as the clock is ticking on the term of the Bush administration?
Good question. I consider that Israel is one of the American interests in the Middle East. Israel is another star in the American flag. And in the Bush last visit, it was very good to announce that he understands that the checkpoints bring the suffering to the Palestinian people. But in the same time, he said, but it brings the security to the Israelis. I wish that he can understand that the checkpoint is create the violence and create the struggle in the Palestinian side,
mm-hmm.
and create more enemies and more fighting in the Palestinian side. This is a very strange and special relationship between two states along the history, Israel and United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Israelis must refuse to be victim of the, as a Palestinian, victim of the American policy. We refuse to be bullets in the American guns and to make this peace between us with the American people. And here's the problem that the American administration cannot ask Israel to end the occupation while they haven't the moral authority,
right,
because they are occupiers in Iraq.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a problem. We're going to take a break and return. And Elik, I'll ask you for your opinion of Bush and the peace process after the break. We're talking with Bassam Aramin, a former Fatah fighter on the Palestinian side of the situation, and Elik Elhanan, an ex-Israeli soldier, and they are both part of the tour Combatants for Peace, coming to Santa Cruz later today at 5:30. We'll run down some of the other locations and dates coming up after the break. 48 minutes past the hour. Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Green and Big Eats, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's a pizza paradise located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's a pizza paradise.
582-9149.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Easy to see, people everywhere just wanna be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
We're talking to two combatants for peace between Israel and Palestine here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and they are touring, as we mentioned. They're in Santa Cruz today, 5:30 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, and there are quite a few events on February 1st, that's Friday, at the Rotary Club of Woodside, Portola Valley. That's a breakfast at 7:15 a.m., then Berkeley High School the same day, and also Friday at the San Francisco Women's Building, that's at 18th and Valencia. The event there starts at 7 p.m. It includes a fundraiser for their efforts and for Abir's Garden, which is a project intended to memorialize the daughter of Bassam Aramin, who is one of our guests right now. And a couple of more dates, Palo Alto on Saturday, February 2nd. That is a 6:30 evening event at Westminster House on Kingsley Avenue. And there are other events, too, but too numerous to mention. Elik, I promise to ask you next for your opinion of the Bush administration and their efforts or lack of effort to help broker peace between Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, sure. But first of all, I would like to say one thing. The event tonight is not at the Resource Center in Santa Cruz.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But at the Vets Hall.
Okay.
On 826 Front Street in Santa Cruz.
Vets Hall on Front Street.
Yeah, we don't want to be
sure
in an empty room.
No, not at all.
While many people are crowding in another place.
Okay, and it still starts at 5:30?
5:30, yes.
Okay.
But at the Vets Hall.
Vets Hall, thank you.
Well, I don't have a lot to add. I completely agree with Bassam. I find that the politics of the Israeli government, the politics of the American government, as the politics of the Israeli government, stands in complete contradiction to the interest of the Israeli people, and the examples are numerous. For example, not too long ago, Syrian officials called out to Israel to negotiate peace with them, and Israel refused. And when Israeli officials were asked why, they admitted that, well, the White House ordered them to because it stands in contradiction to their interests, to their interests, not to ours. We're going to die in that next war.
Yeah.
And but this is why we didn't come here to talk to the American government. We came here to talk to the American people. We still do have some faith in the democracy here.
Thank you.
And we think that if people should know and people should have an impact, there is, other than the very instrumental relationship between Israel and the United States, there is also a very special and warm relationship between the people of the United States and mainly the Jewish community here and Israel, and people who hold Israel dear in their heart should influence, well, the establishment here and definitely the government in Israel to change its politics, because these politics are killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And Americans should be aware of what is being done in their name. Like, just to mention one thing, Abir Aramin was shot by an American bullet fired from an American gun from an American Jeep.
Yeah.
That we receive as aid money. And people should know that and should be aware of that. I don't think that the death of Abir was in any way in the interest of the Israeli people, just as the death of my sister was not in the interest of the Palestinian people. No one was liberated because of that, and no one is safer because of that.
That's
quite on the contrary.
That's Elik Elhanan, a former Israeli soldier. Bassam, let me turn to you again. In the past week, we have been riveted, at least I have, to pictures of the scene on the border between Gaza and Egypt, where Hamas blew up the walls and traffic was flowing back and forth. It seems to have been terminated by the Egyptians. But what does that moment mean to you?
Actually, it's a great moment. I call the Palestinians and the Israeli to follow the heroes of Gaza. This is the power of people that refuse to be slaved, to refuse to be closed all the time, without more than 1.5 million people. They are not chicken, they are not animal, without food, without milk to their children, without electricity, without gas. They cannot suffer anymore the slavery, and they go with a non-violence revolution, and nothing stand in front of them and go to bring their food. The last week, more than a lot of organizations, including the Combatants for Peace, lead this more than 1,000 people. They go to the direction of Gaza to prove that we will never accept the occupation and to call the world to free the ghetto of Gaza. It's a big jail, and the people dying there. And all the time we hear just violence in Gaza. It means more than 15 people have been killed in one aid. This is the violence in Gaza.
Yeah.
What's going in there is a massacre. The people, the world must feel shamed and guilty. And according to his silence about this massacre and this siege about Gaza.
All right, a quick comment from Chris in Sacramento. Go ahead, Chris.
All I want to do is just say how absolutely I'm inspired I am by the two of you, and I'm sure many others like you. It's so refreshing to hear people that, many would like to categorize automatically as enemies, be friends, and try to work for a positive solution for everybody. And I just wanted to say just how absolutely inspired I am and just to keep up the good work.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Bassam and Elik. Again, they're appearing in Santa Cruz. I want all my Santa Cruz listeners to come out and support them and hear their voices. 5:30 today at the Vets Hall on Front Street.
Yes.
Bassam, Elik, thank you very much, and I wish you peace.
Thank you, sir.
We'll continue. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show, former CIA officer Philip Giraldi tells more about Sybelle Edmonds and what she knows.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Exit stage left.
Today, I am suspending my campaign for the Democratic nomination for the presidency.
And stage right.
I am very proud to endorse my friend, John McCain of Arizona.
Another big interest rate rollback.
Pretty surprising and pretty unexpected.
I'm Barry Bagnetto in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The field narrowed today as two presidential hopefuls abandoned their dreams after distant third-place finishes in the Florida primary. Democrat John Edwards stepped aside after extracting a pledge from his rivals.
I've spoken to both Senator Clinton and Senator Obama. They have both pledged to me, and more importantly, through me to America, that they will make ending poverty central to their campaign for the presidency.
Edwards made the announcement in hurricane-ravaged New Orleans, where he launched his campaign last year. Rudy Giuliani flew to California and met up with John McCain at the Reagan Presidential Library, where he said the country needs a strong leader able to confront national security threats and economic upheaval.
Obviously, I thought I was that person. The voters made a different choice.
Giuliani said during the campaign that if he weren't running, he'd be supporting McCain. So he endorsed McCain an hour ago, calling him an American hero and the most qualified to be commander-in-chief. Not that long ago, Giuliani was the front-runner, but then the voting started. Some thoughts from CBS News chief political correspondent Jeff Greenfield.
McCain and Giuliani were, in effect, competing for the same block of voters. So the more that McCain rose from the dead, the tougher it became for Giuliani. That was particularly true in New Hampshire, where Giuliani spent a few million dollars to no effect.
John Edwards had a similar track record, and Greenfield says he had no prospect of doing any better on Super Tuesday. Now this.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
We are live at the Conway Living Room for Phil and April's football party.
And what a party it is, Jim.
It's the coaching. You've really got to give Sam's Club credit. From the HDTV to the dip, they made sure the Conways were ready to go.
April's coming in with a veggie tray. Yeah. Uh-oh, they're blitzing the carrot sticks.
Oh, real mine. Phil bursts in with some mini weenies.
Holy little smoky.
Come to Sam's Club where you'll find great values on everything you need for your football party. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
The Fed slashed interest rates another 0.5% today. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Dramatically dropping rates 1.25 percentage points in just 8 days, the Fed is showing it's concerned about a recession and is trying to do something about it. Its statement complains of stress in financial markets and problems ahead with housing and jobs, but it predicts these rate moves will stimulate growth. Maybe later this year, says Johnson Illington analyst Hugh Johnson.
I'm very, very hopeful. We're going to see a turn or an improvement in the economy and earnings.
Dr. Peter Sperling teaches finance at Toro College.
Whether it can totally prevent a recession is not clear, but what they're certainly trying to do is ensure that there really isn't any widespread financial crisis.
The Fed is signaling it might cut rates further. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow rose more than 100 points after the Fed's announcement, then fell back to close 37 points lower. What happened? In the last hour of trading, a reporter on CNBC said the two biggest bond insurers are about to lose their high credit ratings. And after the market closed, the financial industry was shaken by word that Standard & Poor's Rating Services is considering a downgrade on more than $500 billion in bonds backed by subprime mortgages. The Nasdaq lost 9 points today. The Senate Finance Committee today approved its own version of an economic stimulus plan. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
The bipartisan Senate proposal would send rebate checks to more Americans, adding in 20 million seniors who live on Social Security and higher earners, including couples making up to $300,000 a year, and would extend unemployment insurance. Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley.
From my perspective, then, this is a big improvement in the House bill.
But President Bush likes the House bill, and speaking in California, urged the Senate not to tinker with it.
The Senate ought to accept the House package, pass it, and get it to my desk as soon as possible.
Senators say they will move fast, but won't surrender their right to have a say. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait, I did.
All right, time to go to the dealer.
Good idea.
Right now, Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers offer the Works Fuel Saver Package. That's a Motorcraft premium synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, fluid top-off, and much more, all for one low price.
Well, my car's running great, and my dealer got me in and out.
Oh, I'm happy for you. You're in and out, and I'm stuck to your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Come in, keep going. See your local participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer for special service offers today. See participating dealership for vehicle applications and details through 31608.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna returns from RawStory.com. We're going to talk about an apparent conflict of interest of the Attorney General who testified on Capitol Hill today. That's Michael Mukasey. And we'll also get an update on her recent story, a report about the assassination of Benazir Bhutto and where that investigation stands at Scotland Yard. Our music of the moment is from Midnight Oil. The song is called My Country, Right or Wrong. Just less than 5 years ago, I conducted my first interview with an incredible, impressive woman named Sybil Edmonds. She had been fired from the FBI, where she worked as a translator, and she wanted to go public with charges that she said were explosive. And over the years, I've had many conversations with Sybil, and also with Luke Ryland from Australia, who has been kind of a surrogate in transferring information that Sybil Edmonds was gagged and prevented from sharing with us. Over the years, Sybil tried to get the attention of congressional committees and offer her information. She was subpoenaed to testify in various court proceedings, and in every case, her ability to speak was blocked by a gag order that is based on the murky state's secret privilege asserted by the administration. And that is based not on law, but on precedent. And so far, it's been fairly effective. Recently, Sabelle Edmonds got tired of being gagged and decided that she was going to take her chances and see what our government would do to try to silence her. And she put out an appeal to the American media, offering very limited ground rules, but saying that she would give an exclusive interview to any television network that would hear her out and present the information unedited. No one took her up on that offer. And so she went to the Times of London, which has published a series of articles based on information from Sabelle Edmonds. And finally, someone with enough courage on these shores has decided to write about this and publish it. And from my point of view, it's an unusual outlet, the American Conservative. Philip Giraldi joins us. He's a former CIA officer, and he has penned, I think, two pieces now that have appeared online at the American Conservative. Philip Giraldi, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, good afternoon, Peter.
And let me ask you, did you have any concerns? Did you consult attorneys before you wrote about Sabelle Edmonds' charges?
No, I didn't, but I was very careful about what I wrote and how I wrote it. Everything in my article has appeared somewhere else. So we have a certain amount of protection at the magazine and for myself by virtue of the fact that all of the information that we included has already appeared in public media.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am very grateful that you have done this. And, you know, we have been, myself and several others who know Sabelle, have been championing her cause for a long time. And I've met her on several occasions, interviewed her on many others, and I find her to be highly credible and quite persuasive. In your article, you do raise, I think, appropriate questions about the charges that she's leveled. We might get to those in our conversation. But I think you wrote it very well and presented it in a balanced way. And I encourage my listeners to go to the website at amconmag.com. That's for the American Conservative, amconmag.com. And you can find the article entitled Found in Translation. Phil Giraldi, let me give you two or three minutes here and just ask you to lay out for my listeners the incredible information that has been published primarily in the Times of London. And it talks about essentially a conspiracy by top-level American officials regarding our nuclear secrets.
Yeah, that's right. And your summary was excellent in terms of what the government has tried to do to stop her from speaking. Sabelle was a translator of Turkish language transcripts, which the FBI was compiling on certain targets that they felt were counter-espionage targets. And while she was doing this, she determined that a number of these people that were being listened to by the FBI were actually senior-level United States government officials at the State Department and at the Pentagon. And what makes this issue more serious than just a case of high-level officials being corrupt is the fact that the conversations related to the transfers and sale of U.S. military technology, and specifically nuclear technology that was in the hands of our military, to people overseas. And in this case, the people overseas were identified as being Turks and Israelis. And apparently with the connivance of officials in Turkey and Israel, these technologies were in turn sold to other places like Pakistan. So the charge is a very serious one in that basically we have highest level corruption inside the U.S. government facilitating the sale of military and nuclear secrets to the highest bidder. And essentially, Sabelle has been trying to get a hearing on very, very specific charges that, for example, a specific State Department officer was involved in a phone conversation which was recorded by the FBI in which he took a bribe. In another case, the same official took steps to get five people who had been arrested in the aftermath of 9/11 free from jail. In yet a third instance of the same official, he apparently in 2001, which was 2 years before Robert Novak, revealed the cover company of the CIA, Brewster Jennings, that Valerie Plame was working for.
Right.
And
on non-proliferation issues. That,
yeah,
that was
exactly,
the focus
on nuclear
there.
Non-proliferation issues. And he gave this information to a Turkish official who then passed it on, because the FBI was listening to all these conversations, to the Pakistanis. So these are very serious charges, and the issue for me is that Sibel claims that there are FBI files in existence that you just have to go in and locate that detail all this information, and the investigative process, therefore, would be kind of easy. And yet Sibel has been stonewalled again and again and again.
And really one of the most explosive charges, you name Mark Grossman in your article, former ambassador to Turkey from 94 to 97, undersecretary of state for political affairs from 2001 to 2005, and so he's a very, that's the third highest position at the Department of State. And, you know, one can construct a scenario where he was, you know, conducting these operations in an effort to dupe his contacts. And still, even if that scenario were true, we deserve to know the truth. And Sibel Edmonds' charges should be thoroughly investigated, because in the murky world of spies and nuclear secrets, I can imagine that there might have been an American effort to dupe some of these foreign contacts into giving them information, and of course to win their trust, you've got to give them something to start with. That may be the case, and I'm open to that, but, you know, we really deserve to have a full investigation, even if it's conducted in a secure manner.
Yeah, I agree, and it might be that these people are innocent, and that Sibel is assuming issues that are not really there. But the fact is that, from my experience, I think I can say pretty definitively, the CIA would never have been able to use the number three person at the State Department in a sting operation. State Department would not have even considered anything like that. So the whole story has a certain implausibility. But nevertheless, I can concede that there might be some kind of agenda here that we're not seeing. And really, all the government has to do is to say, in 30 words or less, that there was something going on, we were fully aware of it, and these people were acting in the American interest, and the story would die. But they haven't done that. Instead of that, they put a gag order. Now, a gag order means that the government is implying that what Sibel Edmonds is saying is classified, therefore it's true.
Yeah, and that is remarkable, and we have seen some very disappointing behavior from elected officials, Pat Leahy, chair now of the Judiciary, Charles Grassley, a leading senator on the Republican side. They're deeply aware of Sibel's charges, and they have not gone forward to try to, either in public or behind closed doors, really deeply investigate this. And one of the ironies is that at one point, Grassley and Leahy co-signed a letter in support of Sibel. I believe it was sent over to the FBI, or maybe to the Justice Department hierarchy, and that letter has now been reclassified as secret. Even though it was a public letter that was made available to the public at the time it was sent.
That's right. When Sibel was gagged, she was gagged retroactively. So everything that had occurred in the space of the 2 years after she started agitating about the issue was declared, this was by John Ashcroft, as classified information. So, yeah, you're right. It's bizarre, and both of these senators interviewed Sibel and found her, as you have and as I have, a very credible witness.
Not only that, Glenn Fine, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, has evaluated her claims and said that they are credible. And
right.
So, again, we deserve to get to the bottom of this, and so far it seems that both Democrats and Republicans are treating it like kryptonite. We need to take a break. We'll continue with Philip Giraldi. I encourage you to read his article in the American Conservative. Log on to amconmag.com, and look for the link to Found in Translation. More on Sibel Edmonds in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did. This is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. So far this afternoon, Santa Cruz Mountains looking pretty good. Both directions of Highway 17, no stalls, no accidents. For the most part, you're still rolling at the limit in both directions. Aptos, Rio Del Mar Boulevard at Monroe Avenue got an accident reported. Actually, two tow trucks involved in this one, so CHP just about on scene. Watsonville, also an accident. San Andreas Road at Murray Avenue. This is an injury accident. A pickup truck, it spun out. It is partially blocking the roadway. Live Oak, Harper Street at Chanticleer Avenue, an accident cleared over to the right-hand shoulder. Two vehicles involved in that one. And also watch out for an accident in Carmel. This is Kenyatta Drive at Rio Vista Drive. Two vehicles mix it up. They both have managed to limp themselves over to the right-hand shoulder, and CHP just about on scene. Icy Hot Heat Therapy patches provide powerful relief at the point of pain. With up to 8 hours of relief, get deep muscle relaxation with Icy Hot Heat Therapy. When the heat is on, the pain is gone. That's a look at your traffic for KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. We're in conversation now with Philip Giraldi, former CIA officer and the author of a powerful piece in the American Conservative Magazine. Again, their website, AMCONMAG, amconmag.com. And the article is entitled Found in Translation. Just one quick addition to what we were talking about before the break about the corroboration of the validity of the charges. You add to the list here, Phil, at least from what I have known, former FBI senior counterintelligence officer John Cole has independently confirmed her report of the presence of Pakistani intelligence service penetrations within the FBI translators pool. And that relates directly to an allegation that Sibel has made on this program publicly, despite the gag order. And that relates to a woman named Melek Khan Dickerson, who was translating at the FBI. And despite that, she worked for three Turkish front organizations that were under investigation and did not reveal that when she applied. And it's also alleged by Sibel that she essentially deep-sixed files and translations that might have been compromising to friends of hers and other folks. And the other issue relates to the role of the ISI, Pakistan's equivalent of the CIA, in the events before 9/11, where we know that General Mahmoud Ahmad, the head of ISI, authorized a $100,000 wire transfer to Mohammed Atta's bank account in Dubai right before 9/11. Now, I can't connect all these dots, but I want to know what's behind those dots.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I can't connect them either. And but certainly there are a lot of interesting relationships. We know that the ISI was very much involved with the rise of the Taliban in Afghanistan. And, of course, the Taliban were closely tied to al-Qaeda. And ISI has, even into the present time, played a very ambiguous role in terms of who it's supporting. I would suspect that it's supporting a lot of people at the same time for various objectives. And so, yeah, there's even a linkage to 9/11 in terms of what Sibel is talking about. ISI clearly, based on what she says were in some of the transcripts, had a close working relationship with the Turks.
Yeah. And also, there is something that I want to know more about, which is the American-Turkish Council, which represented interests of Turkey in Washington. You describe it as modeled after APAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. And, you know, one has to ask what the role of the organization was and if some of these contacts that Mark Grossman from the State Department made were linked to the American-Turkish Council. I mean, it reminds me of Chalabi's Iraqi National Congress, you know, these front groups with names that sound very impressive, but they're actually not what they represent themselves to be.
Yeah, there are certain similarities with Chalabi, but I think actually it's a little more complicated even than that. You have to realize that there's been a long-term strategic and military relationship between Turkey and Israel, and there's also been what appears to be, from what Sibel is saying, a relationship in terms of the lobbying groups that represent both those interests in the United States. And she has suggested that AIPAC, in fact, it's public record that AIPAC was instrumental in helping the Turks get set up in their own lobbying effort. And this was basically in support of the fact that Turkey was the only, at the time, the only Muslim country that had diplomatic and indeed close relationships, a close relationship with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this agenda driving this. And also, Mark Grossman is only one of a series of Jewish American ambassadors from the United States who have served in Ankara.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them have a record of being strongly supportive of the Turkish-Israeli relationship as one of their principal diplomatic objectives. So there are a lot of connections here that are murky and that seem to be surfacing in terms of what Sibel is saying, that all she says it flatly, that all these groups and all these investigations are connected.
Mm-hmm. Phil, just about 30 seconds. Anything you'd like to add that we haven't covered?
No, I think you've hit on most of the major issues, but I think that basically where I come from on this, I'm a conservative, and but wrong is wrong, no matter who's doing it, and basically Sibel has made very credible charges and very specific charges that should be provable from documents, and she deserves her day in court.
Thank you, sir. I'm really pleased to talk with you, and we're probably very different politically. But we do share this commitment to truth and justice, and I'd like to hear Sybil Edmonds speak, and I hope we'll get that opportunity at some point. Thank you,
absolutely,
sir.
Absolutely.
Phil Giraldi, read the article again at The American Conservative on the web at mconmag.com. You got that? Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna returns. We're going to talk about conflicts of interest held by the Attorney General and maybe take a look at the Bhutto assassination investigation in Pakistan. That's next, right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The message from Florida. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Another primary, another message. We saw, for example, that spending a fortune, being handsome, and even invoking the L word wasn't enough.
All three of the major pieces of legislation he championed are liberal legislation.
John McCain beat Mitt Romney anyway, and he won in a primary where his independent groupies weren't allowed to vote.
Florida has always been a special place to me.
Which makes him look really strong. Although, since independents knew Democrats wouldn't be allowed to compete in Florida, many of them might have registered as Republicans. And, of course, Florida is no ordinary state. Florida is one of the few states where John McCain still has a chance of being the youngest person in the room. As for the Democrats, Florida was supposed to be a winner-take-nothing state, where the votes didn't count as punishment for holding the election too early. But look who showed up to say thank you for the 857,000 votes that didn't count.
I am thrilled to have had this vote of confidence.
She proved that she can get 50% of the Democratic vote in a state where campaigning is prohibited and Barack Obama doesn't give speeches, which is important considering what happens if you get only 14% of the vote in a state where Barack Obama doesn't give speeches.
What I pledge to do for you is to fight for you with every fiber of my being.
A fight which will now have to continue from the sidelines. But the clearest message of all from the Florida primary is that this time around, 9/11 won't be enough.
It's not over until it's over.
After which, it was over. Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
The Otter Kelt Bed is busy at week's end. On Friday, Cal Poly Pomona comes to town to visit the Otters. Saturday, CSU San Bernardino will face off with the Otters. Game time, 7:30 p.m. Go Otters!
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia is the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Ooh.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour. I'm Peter B.
Interrupting all programs.
The radio's got some pirate satellites orbiting your living room, catching in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the light.
About an hour from now, the remaining Republican candidates for president will gather at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley. It's spelled S-I-M-I, but we should change it to S-E-M-E-Y. No, S-E-A-M-Y, sorry. And if you want to have some fun, fix yourself a cocktail or pop a cold one and sit back and watch the Republicans there and count how many times they invoke Ronald Reagan. You'll need a long tally sheet for that. We are trying to connect up with the mobile Larissa Alexandrovna. She is. She told me earlier today when we talked that she is going to be in the car, and she is driving from Florida, where she lives, I think to Mississippi. And we've been trying to reach her for the last few minutes, but it looks like the cell coverage is not so strong there. So I want to identify a couple of subjects that she and I will talk about if we connect. And in the meantime, I want to open up the phone lines, and you can call in and talk with us. I know lots of people want to talk about the dropout of John Edwards. And if you want to talk about Rudy Giuliani dropping out, you can do that too. But I know that many of us, I was quite stunned this morning. The first thing I do, I don't flip on the TV because I find those morning shows so annoying, and they rarely cover the issues that I want them to. And so I usually go to my email first, and there were several blasts announcing that John Edwards would be holding an event in New Orleans to announce that he's getting out of the presidential campaign. And like many, I'm disappointed by this. As you know, I have made up my mind to vote for Barack Obama. But, you know, I'm not 100% sold on the guy. I simply think he's a much better alternative to Hillary Clinton. And because he is running neck and neck with her, essentially, that is the decision I've made. It's pragmatic. It's not totally idealistic. I recognize that. But I do consider myself a pragmatist, and I try to avoid becoming a cynic. So let's talk about that. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open for you right now. 888-573-8372. Larissa has a story posted just today at rawstory.com in advance of the testimony on Capitol Hill this afternoon by the new Attorney General, Michael Mukasey. And Mukasey, you know, made some comments during his confirmation hearing. And, of course, it was a narrow confirmation. Recall that Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein, senators from New York and California, respectively, they're the ones responsible for this jerk being our new attorney general. And yeah, you know, he's more qualified than Alberto Gonzalez. And yeah, he's not a crony of George W. Bush. But it's almost worse. He's a crony of Rudolph Giuliani. Mukasey was part of a law firm that represents Verizon, the telephone company. And Verizon is a client of the Houston law firm of Bracewell and Giuliani. And guess who is a partner at Bracewell and Giuliani? Mark Mukasey, who is the son of our new spiffy attorney general. And let's see, he served for 8 years in the U.S. Attorney's Office in southern New York, which is where his dad and Rudy Giuliani met and worked together before. So nepotism, cronyism, and an apparent conflict of interest. And, of course, Mukasey was on the Hill today. I haven't had a chance to catch up with the news and find out exactly what his testimony was like, but it was expected to be contentious, as he once again wanted to dodge any issues related to torture, doesn't want to define waterboarding as torture, and it's a shell game. It really is. He also, of course, has decided not to appoint a special counsel or a Patrick Fitzgerald type to investigate the CIA torture videotapes. But he has appointed a man who has a good reputation from the, I think, the Hartford U.S. Attorney's Office. So that was one issue. And also, Larissa has done some excellent work taking a look at the investigation into the assassination of Prime Minister, former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, just before Christmas. And she writes today, Scotland Yard says they're not investigating assassin. And it says that the assassination may never be solved because Pakistani officials refused to demand an autopsy and hosed away evidence at the scene of her killing. And, of course, it was a bizarre event. And what was even more bizarre is when our boy, Pervez Musharraf, went on television and said she was responsible for her death because she popped her head out of the moonroof of her armored vehicle. And that, of course, overlooks the fact that there was a shooter and a suicide bomber who got to within, 10 feet of the vehicle before the shooter fired, and then the suicide bomber blew himself up, destroying a lot of the evidence there. So we may never know exactly who killed her, and it's another reason why people don't trust our government and will continue to be skeptical of our relationship with Pakistan. 888-5-PETER-B. I think we're going to assume that we won't talk to Larissa today, but if she gets through, we'll certainly put her on the phone for a minute. But I do want to hear your comments, particularly about John Edwards' withdrawal from the race, so don't hesitate to pick up the phone right now. All the lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Lead editorial in today's New York Times is a powerful one, and it brings to attention something that we didn't know about. Just before Monday night's State of the Union speech, in which Mr. Bush extolled bipartisanship, railed against government excesses, and promised to bring the troops home as soon as it's safe, the White House undermined all of those sentiments with the latest of the president's infamous signing statements. The new one was attached to the military budget bill, which covers everything except the direct cost of the war. The president said that four important provisions in this legislation will be enforced only if he feels like it. Well, actually, only if he wants to, is the way the editorial reads. The first provision created a commission to determine how reliant the government is on contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan, how much waste, fraud, and abuse has occurred, and what has been done to hold accountable those who are responsible. Think Blackwater. Congress authorized the commission to compel government officials to testify. The Times opines, perhaps this violated Bush's sense of his power to dole out contracts as he sees fit and to hold contractors harmless. The same theory applies to the second provision that Bush said he would not obey, a new law providing protection against reprisal to those who expose waste, fraud, or abuse in wartime contracts, whistleblowers. The third measure he rejected requires intelligence officials to respond to a request for documents from the Armed Services Committees of Congress within 45 days. And the fourth provision, pardon me, my cold is still here, states that none of the money authorized for military purposes can be used to establish permanent military bases in Iraq. How about that? Now, this is the same president who railed against the Congress for their use of earmarks to dispense pork in their districts. And he said that he's going to force them to play by the rules and to make sure that any money is authorized, actually goes through a committee, and is voted on the floor, and is not inserted at the last minute. Now, the president has a point. He just doesn't have any credibility. All right, 888-5-PETER-B. Give us a call if you want to comment, particularly on the Edwards situation. And while I'm waiting for your calls to come in and trying to clear up my cough here, I want to play for you a video clip that somebody emailed me today. It's up at YouTube. And if you go to YouTube and enter, Henry Waxman and impeachment, you'll be able to find this video. And I think it's a powerful exchange. I want you to hear it.
30 years representing the 30th District. He is now chair of the Government Oversight Committee. Congress, come back.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be with you because I know that many of you are going to say to me, we got to impeach this president.
Yeah.
We got to be his vice president. I can't tell you how badly I would like to see both of them out of office.
In jail.
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 But I want to tell you, I want to tell you how I see the issue. To impeach a president, to impeach a vice president, to impeach anybody, the House has to vote for articles of impeachment. Then there has to be a trial. And the conviction must be by a two-thirds vote of the Senate. I told you the problems we have getting 60 votes in the Senate. No Republican will join us in arguing for impeachment. I fear that this may trip us up on getting a Democrat elected based on the issues and not the political attacks that they'll make against us. I don't see the effort accomplishing anything other than keeping us from dealing with other issues, hopefully by embarrassing them to do things like child health insurance.
People want impeachment.
I know you all want impeachment.
Yes.
I would like to see him driven for office.
And we can't pass it.
Wait a second. You're going to get your chance for questions and answers. But I don't see it succeeding. That's the conclusion I've reached. And I don't support impeachment.
Peter Thottam.
Now, here's a powerful speaker.
I met with you in July along with a lot of people here. And we got the same load of crap in July about impeachment not being something that's viable. And I'm an attorney too, okay? It's not beyond reasonable doubt only. There's clear and convincing and other standards that apply. A trial was a close possibility last November. Kucinich had a resolution on the floor. It failed by 26 votes. Wexler, your peer, and Baldwin in Wisconsin and Gutierrez in Illinois are demanding that the House Judiciary Committee seriously consider 799 and 333. The reason impeachment matters to these people here is because nothing less than the integrity of this government is at stake. The reputation around the world. To have impeached Bill Clinton for perjury about a blowjob, and to not impeach these criminals for destroying the integrity of the Constitution and the reputation of the United States for having killed and slaughtered 4,000 Americans, 1 million Iraqis, is unforgivable, Congressman. Show some spine!
Whoa. I think that's a very powerful statement. And I never thought that I would associate Henry Waxman with the term apologist or wuss. Yet, that's what I come away from this with. That's my only conclusion. And it's very clear that the Democrats have decided to pass on holding these people accountable. And I think it's shameful, and it approaches criminality itself. It's really hard to take. And I have held Henry Waxman in high regard for many years. But I have to say, it's down a notch. Check that out. Go to YouTube and watch it for yourself. Just put Waxman and impeachment in the search window, and I'm sure it'll pop up. Let me run to a break now. We'll take care of that, and then we'll go to the phones. Open phones here, a free speech zone all the way till the end of the show. So get on the line now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888 573-8372, and we'll take your call starting right after this break. And particularly if you want to comment on John Edwards leaving the campaign, I want to hear from you. 888-573-8372.
The autumn leaves burning red.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Going to check off your KRXA traffic. So watch for a car in Santa Cruz, thought they could make it and then just didn't. Southbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard, watch out for a car, ran out of gas and it's now stuck in the left-hand lane. So again, that's southbound 1, just as you're approaching Morrissey Boulevard, they're sitting in that left-hand lane. Carmel Canyada Drive at Rio Vista got an accident over to the right-hand shoulder. Two vehicles mix it up. Again, though, they've both managed to limp themselves over to that right-hand side. So quite a bit of activity with a tow truck, but no lanes blocked. Felton Empire Road at Crazy Acre Baker Lane. We got a vehicle spun out, went 60 feet off the roadway, so CHP on scene. Do need that tow truck to come pull it back up on the roadway and clear it all the way out of there, though. Santa Cruz Mountain still looking good, though. Highway 17 both directions through Santa Cruz Mountain. Check and install and accident-free. Now ditch the itch and feel the heel with Cortisone 10, the strongest anti-itch medicine you can buy without a prescription. Reach for the number one doctor-recommended anti-itch medicine, Cortisone 10. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's KRXA Traffic.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Do you have difficulty sleeping? Are aches and pains keeping you up at night? The Amethyst Biomat is a heated healing mat that you lie on to relax, energize, detoxify, alkalize, eliminate pain, depression, insomnia, and improve your body, your mind, and your spirit. It is simple, safe, and effective to use in your bed or massage table. Comes in 5 sizes and is used by individuals and alternative holistic practitioners worldwide. Imagine doing nothing and achieving everything. Call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262 or visit amethystbiomat.com. That's A-M-E-T-H-Y-S-T biomat.com. And start sleeping tonight. That's 1-888-337-7262 for Rachel or browse to amethystbiomat.com and get the good night's sleep you deserve.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. All the lines are jammed now. We'll go to the phones here in a second. 888-5-PETER-B when somebody hangs up. I just tried to load CNN.com. You ever have a problem with that? You load it and your browser crashes? Happens with Explorer, with Opera, with Firefox, almost everything I use. I don't understand that. I was just going to check in there and see what they're talking about and looking at, but never mind. Jake is on the line from Eureka. Welcome, Jake. How you doing today?
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Not bad. Hey, I want to thank you for calling in when I was on Air America last night. And I just want to point out that you were one of the callers who wasn't planted. It was interesting because I didn't realize till after I concluded the segment with Kiki McLean, a spokesman for the Clinton campaign, that they had loaded up the phone lines with friendly calls. And they even instructed one of the people to mislead the producer, the screener in New York, that he was listed on the screen as opposing Hillary. And when he got on the air, he just gushed. And it was really interesting because, you know, Hillary claims that 35 years of experience, Jake. Well, I don't brag about it that often because I think it makes me sound old. But I have 35 years experience in talk radio. And I can tell when the callers are real and when they are set up. And like I said, I didn't quite realize it till after the segment was over. But it was kind of interesting to see the attention to detail and message management that the Clinton campaign has.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. You know, Hillary Clinton, not only does she vote like a Republican in the Senate, her campaign acts like a Republican campaign for the presidency.
That's a good
point. You know, they're just look at South Carolina, perfect example. You have her husband, Bill Clinton, down there, basically race baiting, you know, trying to make Barack Obama the quote-unquote black candidate. Of course, it backfired on the Clintons, didn't it? Isn't that interesting, Peter B.?
Yeah, it has. However, yep. You know, it may have backfired in your mind and mine, but I think that they have succeeded in creating racial lines in this campaign And I think it's fair to say that Barack Obama didn't intend for that to happen.
Well, yeah, I agree with that for sure. Hey, by the way, I got to ask you a question about Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Was Rudy Giuliani running for president of the United States, or was he running for mayor of Miami?
I haven't seen the exchange yet between John McCain. In fact, CNN has successfully loaded now on my computer. And Giuliani. Giuliani gave him an endorsement here in Los Angeles today. And what I don't know is if he handed off the rights to use 9/11 in a shameless way for political purposes.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me that even Republicans decided to reject Rudy Giuliani and his fear-mongering and his insistence that somehow he wears the mantle of 9/11. The fact is, if you actually look at what Rudy Giuliani is responsible for in 9/11, he's responsible for a lot of firefighters' deaths.
Yeah.
By having these corrupt deals with Motorola. The radios didn't even work.
Right.
Those firefighters shouldn't have been in those towers when they came down, but thanks to Giuliani's corrupt political deals, a lot of people died.
Yeah. Well, he's going to, get off the campaign trail to spend more time with his slimy companions like Bernie Kerik.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, can you imagine if Bernie Kerik actually made it through to become Department of Homeland Security, head? I mean, this guy, this corrupt, crooked mafia connected crony of Rudy Giuliani, what qualifies any of these Republicans to their positions? I mean, hell,
now,
look
wait a minute, Jake. I mean, I'm a little embarrassed to come to the rescue for Bernie Kerik, but are you telling me that mob-related figures haven't remodeled your house?
No, my name is not Ted Stevens.
Oh,
no,
I see.
It isn't. I'm
okay.
Sorry. But anyway, Sam Peter B., I do agree with you. You know, originally I was for Dennis Kucinich, but now that it's down to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, it's no choice at all. Barack Obama is the best candidate the Democrats have in the general election, especially going up against John McCain. Because if John McCain goes up against Hillary Clinton, I think we may have another Republican in the White House for another 4 years.
I also think that just putting Obama and, not that Hillary Clinton is aged or anything, but the contrast between the young African-American and the aging war hero from the Vietnam era could not be more sharp. And I think the age factor will kick in. And let me just tell you a quick story. When Bob Dole was the Republican nominee in 96, I was at a birthday party for a bunch of people who had turned 80, my mom and some friends. And they were all saying, God, Bob Dole, he's too old. I'm a little older than he is, they would say, and there's no way that I could keep up with the responsibilities of President of the United States. And, McCain's 71 now, and I think his age shows even more because of the torture that he endured and his history. But I also think that when he is exposed as the true conservative, not this moderate maverick, I mean, consider that Romney got more conservative voters in Florida, according to the exit polls, than McCain. I mean, I think that's laughable. But as it all settles in, I think people will focus, and I do agree. Obama is not perfect, and the Resco situation, some of his corporate connections, his lack of a single-payer health proposal, all those bother me. But Hillary is no better, and in many ways is far worse. Thank you, Jake. Now to Jeanette in Fair Oaks, listening to KSAC. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I guess I have some complaints, actually.
Good.
And a suggestion that maybe it's time that we change the way that we run these primaries.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should have one day for all primaries, for all candidates that want to go for it, and let it be settled in that manner. This is crazy. The people that you want to vote for are no longer running, and they haven't even come to the big super day yet.
Yeah, earlier today we heard from Paul, I think it was, who just sent a check into the Edwards campaign last night, and a couple of people who've already voted by mail for
right.
John Edwards.
That's crazy.
It is. It is. But also, let's given the way I agree with you. It's a crazy quilt. It's a mess. The way too many states moved up to February 5th is ridiculous. At the same time, the candidates know what the layout here is. And I have to ding John Edwards for making his announcement at this time. I don't see why he couldn't have waited a week.
Just a week and let us really show what it's all about.
Right, and he would have picked up more delegates and been in a stronger position. I just don't understand it.
I agree. This makes no sense to me unless he's already made a deal under the table somewhere.
Well, but, you know, so far he doesn't have enough chips to make big deals about. And
that's why he should have waited another week.
Yeah, you're
right. And then he would have had something.
And also, it's not clear to me that Obama would be receptive. I think it would be pretty interesting if it's an Obama-Edwards ticket. I could support that, but it's not clear that John Edwards would take the number two post again.
I don't think he's ready for that again.
We don't have clarity.
Right.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm not done.
Sorry. The clock has run.
Oh,
you want to hold on through the top of the hour?
Okay.
I'll let you talk more.
Okay.
I'm that kind of guy.
Okay.
It's just the vagaries of time. I can't control it.
Do it.
Stand by for more from Jeanette. And me too. I'll be back after the top of the hour news. It's Open Phones, the Free Speech Zone, all next hour. I want to hear from you, 888-5-PETER-B. And thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary, my girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people who are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happened.
Pausing now for station identification.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A turning point day in the presidential campaign as two candidates who made strong starts were forced to drop out. For the Republican story, we go live to the Reagan Presidential Library and CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
And Bill, Rudy Giuliani confirmed what everyone expected.
Today, I'm officially announcing my withdrawal as a candidate for President of the United States.
And then, also as expected, Giuliani endorsed John McCain.
John McCain is the most qualified candidate to be the next commander-in-chief of the United States.
The former New York mayor called McCain a true American hero. It may not be the only major endorsement for McCain. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger indirectly hinted today he might also endorse McCain. Just starting now, hear the final GOP debate before Super Tuesday, featuring four Republicans, including McCain and Mitt Romney. Live at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Democratic field narrowed when John Edwards threw in his towel.
It's time for me to step aside so that history can blaze its path.
Edwards made no endorsements, but says he got Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to promise that eliminating poverty would be a centerpiece of their campaigns. After the Fed hiked interest rates another 0.5%, the stock market was headed for its third up day in a row, but the Dow closed 37 points lower on concern about the credit ratings of companies that insure bonds. And after hours, Standard & Poor's says its ratings on $500 billion in mortgage-backed securities might be cut. That suggests the financial industry could face even more huge losses. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has background on the Fed's action.
The signals from the economy just continue to be bleak. The latest GDP number came out for the fourth quarter. It shows growth in the economy essentially has stalled. The GDP number for the fourth quarter was 0.6%. I mean, that basically means the economy has essentially come to a standstill. So the Fed is looking at these numbers and saying, we got to do something to put a little gas back in the engine.
The Senate Finance Committee has come up with its own economic stimulus plan, bigger than the one passed yesterday by the House. Chairman Max Baucus says it would add payments for 20 million low-income seniors.
We can count on seniors to spend their stimulus checks quickly. Americans 65 years and older spend more of their incomes than any other age group in America.
President Bush is irritated. He wants the Senate to pass the original measure and get it to his desk. Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, embarrassed by the disclosure that he exchanged steamy text messages with a female aide, addressed the city this evening with his wife at his side.
I am angry, I am hurt, and I am disappointed.
but there is no question that I love my husband.
Kilpatrick apologized to his family and his constituents and said he intends to remain in office. They both asked for privacy while they work out their problems. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Peyton Manning, inviting you to come and experience the Sony High Definition difference for yourself. To demonstrate how experiencing something makes a difference, I've asked Steve here to give me a hand. Say hi, Steve.
Hello, everyone.
Steve here thinks that I'm not the most accurate passer.
You're paraphrasing a little, Peyton.
And that I
have a weak arm, but weak is a relative term.
Really? All right. So, Steve, take a few steps back.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine. Ready?
Are we going to practice?
Come on. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
See, it's important to experience something. Experience high definition for yourself and learn more about the four steps to HD and the remarkable Sony Bravia HD TV. High definition. It's in Sony's DNA.
To experience the Sony high definition difference for yourself, visit sony.com/HDNA and download a copy of our buyer's guide or find a store event near you. That's sony.com/HDNA.
On a recent flyby of Mercury, the closest planet to the Sun, NASA's Messenger spacecraft made some surprising discoveries. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
More than 1,200 days into its mission, Messenger has sent back some 1,200 pictures of Mercury.
We were continually surprised.
Principal investigator Sean Solomon is with the Carnegie Institution.
It was not the planet we expected. It was not the moon. It was a very dynamic place with things changing very rapidly.
Including volcanic activity, says scientist Louise Proctor at Johns Hopkins.
The thing now is to try and find the source of these volcanic plains. But yes, that certainly was one of the most surprising things, I think.
Peter King, CBS News.
An expert with New York's Department of Environmental Conservation says it's the gravest threat to bats he's ever seen. In New York and Vermont, bats are dying by the thousands from white nose syndrome, a mysterious illness that leaves a circle of white fungus around the bat's nose. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
We are live at the Conway Living Room for Phil and April's football party.
And what a party it is, Jim.
It's the coaching. You've really got to give Sam's Club credit, from the HDTV to the dip. They made sure the Conways were ready to go.
April's coming in with a veggie tray. Uh-oh, they're blitzing the carrot sticks.
Oh, me, oh my. Phil bursts in with some mini weenies.
Holy
little smoky. Come to Sam's Club where you'll find great values on everything you need for your football party. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Got one line open, and we lost Jeanette. Jeanette in Fair Oaks, call me back. You had another point. I was going to give you more time, but you're not there to speak. It's the Free Speech Zone, and you can call in right after Jeanette. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town, boys are back in town. The boys are back in town, boys are back in town, boys are back in town, boys are back in town.
Back in town. We're taking your calls, and most people want to talk about John Edwards' announcement today that he is stepping aside. He said it is time for him to do so. And he contacted both the Clinton and Obama campaigns, told them he was considering dropping out of the race, and asked them to make poverty a central issue of the general election and a future Democratic administration. And reportedly, both of them agreed to do that. He currently has 26 delegates, and so far, he says he doesn't plan to endorse Clinton or Obama yet, but he may do so in the future. So it doesn't appear that there is any kind of overt deal between John Edwards and the surviving campaigns. Of course, often there are things below the surface that we just can't quite see. 888-573-8372. I do feel a panic attack coming on, which means that we may get a live and wild report from Tommy Panic sometime this hour. Mildred in Coos Bay, listening on KBBR. Welcome.
Hi, Peter B. Well, I want to make 2 points, one quick and one about John Edwards. The quick one is I agree with you about Henry Waxman and the spineless Democrats. I just cannot believe how bad our party is and not following through with, you know, giving justice to people who act out criminally. But anyway.
Well, and just a second. We got time here, Mildred.
Okay.
You know, in response to the argument raised by Henry Waxman, again, a guy I have admired and I consider him very smart and a tough guy. But it's so patronizing to suggest to us that impeachment is not possible because you can't get 60 votes in the Senate. That is not the point. We need full investigations to expose the wrongdoing of the Bush administration, and that would serve the interests of the American people and probably the interests of the Democratic Party. But I'm more interested in the former than the latter. And even if impeachment did somehow get, twisted up and backfired on the Democrats, I still think they have an obligation to expose the wrongdoing. And you can do that through the investigative process in the first phase of impeachment that occurs in the House. And even if it never reached the Senate, never got to a vote to remove that requires 66 votes, we would still be better served by exposing the wrongdoing and sending a clear signal that we don't condone it and we will not tolerate it in the future.
I agree, and I really think that the House should have been having the investigations to expose the dirty laundry and all of the machinations that have been going on, all the crookedness and everything, and if nothing else, it would help to clean up government. And I just don't understand what's the matter with the Democrats. I'm disgusted with them.
Yeah.
And I've been feeling this way for months and months.
And Mildred,
they have plenty of stuff to impeach him on.
It's a source of their weakness. They can't stop him on Iraq. I read the New York Times editorial last hour about another boondoggle by Bush where he's using signing statements to say, I will not agree to no permanent bases in Iraq. I mean, the Congress has passed that multiple times. Barbara Lee personally has inserted it into bills. And it's just breathtaking that this president, who lectured the nation and the Congress about bipartisanship on Monday night, the same day he wrote these signing statements that just say, well, you know, Congress, you got your ideas and I got mine and I'm going to do what I want.
Oh, I just get really livid with that. I just, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it really makes me wonder why the Democrats are not acting. You know, if they say that they want to clean up the government and they want to expose all of this and stop all of this corruption, then they need to get off their duffs and do it, and they're not doing it.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if there's something more going on that doesn't meet the public's eyes, that the Democrats are under pressure and it's not a matter of numbers or anything else. You know, all of this corruption needs to be put out and aired.
Well,
so it can be dealt with, and it's not being dealt with.
Mildred, you're not off base to ask those questions. I don't know what the answer is. I don't believe that Nancy Pelosi is being blackmailed by the Bush administration or that they're threatening to take one of her kids to Guantanamo. But you do have to scratch your head and say, why?
Right. It's really weird.
All right. What else did you want to say?
Okay. I'm a John Edwards supporter, and it really confuses me that he bowed out at this time. You know, it would have made sense after Super Tuesday. But, you know, ideal ticket would have been John Edwards and Obama. You get 8 years of them, and then Obama and somebody else, another 8 years for 16 years of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here Edwards bows out of the race. He has so many good ideas and all of that, and it's just the whole thing is really, really strange. And we don't know why he bowed out. We don't know if his forecaster said it's not going to work. He's running out of money. His wife is getting sicker with her stage 4 cancer or whatever the deal is. And I've not heard anybody come up with any reasonable explanation either.
Yeah, I am still puzzled. And again, I'm feeling a little bit, not just disappointed, but a little angry. Because he said as recently a week ago that he was in it to stay and going to go all the way to the convention. And while that's a political statement, that can be modified like, I'm not planning to run for president at all. I think that he owes it to his supporters, including the guy who called from Carmichael, who just made a contribution last night, and many people who've called the program today who have already voted for John Edwards.
It is very strange. I mean, again, I don't understand the logic of him not going through Super Tuesday, at least, where you really get a better idea of what's going to happen
right.
In terms of voting patterns.
Well, and as I mentioned earlier, last night when I was subbing on Air America, John Nichols from The Nation offered some great analysis. He was there live from Minneapolis, where he was opining that John Edwards had a chance to come in second place and really, build up a little bit more momentum. Edwards wasn't running hard in all 22 states that vote next Tuesday, but he did have a chance in key states, and I don't know why he has frittered it away.
Yeah, there's a disconnect with what Nichols said and what Edwards did today.
Yeah. Thank you, Mildred.
You're welcome.
All right. I think this is Jack in Davis. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Welcome, Jack.
Well, I've got a little bit different perspective.
Go ahead.
I believe that Mr. Edwards dropped out because of the fact that he realized that he was going to split the vote that would go to Mr. Obama. And even though he hasn't come out and celebrated Mr. Obama yet, I have a feeling that what the people that spin the voting would say was the fact that, the white vote was somehow separated. And I think that the people that would normally go towards Obama, particularly the younger voters, will probably go towards Mr. Obama. I agree with you that the ideal kind of rivalry between McCain and Obama, I'm just looking forward to that
mm-hmm.
because of the fact of the age versus youth. But can I offer you another perspective?
Yeah,
about
let me just comment on what you said
sure.
there, Jack, because on the surface, I don't reject what you say. But when you apply what the little data that we have, okay, from Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and I don't count Florida at all, what has developed is that Hillary Clinton is getting the beer-drinking, high school-educated, working and middle-class votes in the Democratic Party. And Obama has attracted a coalition of young people, of people my age who drive Volvos and Priuses and drink wine, and college-educated, they say, African-Americans. But Hillary is getting the bulk of the blue-collar vote, and she's attracting Latino voters. And so Edwards was really in a position to split Hillary's vote, I think, more than Obama's. And we can't focus just on California because there are 21 other states with different ethnic compositions that vote next Tuesday. And so, again, when I look at it with the limited data we have, it's not really clear that Edwards' withdrawal helps Obama in the short term. And had he stayed in and picked up some delegates next Tuesday, then he would have been in a stronger position to broker for either candidate, who he might choose to endorse.
Well, I can't disagree with you on your argument either.
Okay.
I think it's kind of a one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that happens is that in him dropping out is an honest reaction on his part, and I'm prefacing that by saying that I don't think that Giuliani and Fred Thompson dropped out at the same kind of perspective, because I think if you'd go back and look at the debates, there was nothing but softballs that were passed between Giuliani and Fred Thompson towards Mr. McCain. Fred Thompson was associated with the McCain candidacy in 2008, and Giuliani is very closely aligned with Mr. McCain. And I think that what has happened is that McCain sent Mr. Thompson both to Iowa and to New Hampshire to draw down Mitt Romney. He got lucky and also had Mr. Huckabee taking some of those votes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sent Giuliani down to Florida to withdraw more votes from Mitt Romney way ahead of time. And then they both, the reason that Fred really never showed the compassion that he needed to do to become a real president candidate is because he had no intention. And the reason that Giuliani went running down to Florida is because he had no real intention other than to steal stuff away from Romney to put to elevate McCain's candidacy.
Yeah, interesting. I think that's an interesting theory. It may be true. And, of course, Fred Thompson may tell all sometime in the future.
Well,
probably.
I don't think that those guys ever tell all. But I think that the fact that Edwards hasn't declared who he's going to support is where he's really a much more honest figure in his dropping out.
Okay, and Jack, I'm sorry. I got to run to a break. Okay. No more extensions. Sorry. 888-5 Peter B. More calls after the break on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Did you ever have to make up your mind? Pick up on one and leave the other behind. It's not often easy, not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind?
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Going to start this time around in Watsonville. Got an injury accident. Elkhorn Road at Strawberry Canyon Road. This is a solo vehicle accident. A van actually spun out, went off the roadway and about 15 feet down the embankment on the right-hand shoulder. So you're going to see quite a bit of activity over to that right-hand side. Emergency crews, CHP, as well as a tow truck all on scene. This is Elkhorn Road at Strawberry Canyon Road in Watsonville. Ben Lomond, southbound 9 before Glen Arbor Road. Got a two-car accident, moved over to the right-hand shoulder. And in Santa Cruz County, Highway 9 at 236, watch out for a rock slide. That's blocking about half the roadway, so you're definitely slowing as you got to make your way around that in the roadway. And also some long-term road work going on in Santa Cruz, northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp. That's closed for some long-term road work all the way to summertime. Now, ditch the itch and feel the heel with Cortisone 10, the strongest anti-itch medicine you can buy without a prescription. Reach for the number one doctor-recommended anti-itch medicine, Cortisone 10. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's your KRXA traffic.
We're in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
It ain't no joke. I like to buy the world a toke and teach the world to sing in perfect harmony and teach the world to snuff the fires and the liars. Hey, I know it's just a song, but it's fact for the rest of me. This is a love attack. I know it's our body's back. It's just like any bat. It retracts before impact. And just like fashion, if you got the goods, they'll come in, buy it, jump to stay in the click. So don't delay.
We're taking your calls here in the Free Speed Zone, and up next we've got Rick in Sacramento listening on 1240 Talk City. Hi, Rick. Well, maybe it's somebody else now on line 5. Who's this? If you're within the sound of my voice, speak up.
Hello? Yes.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
My name's Jay.
Now it's Jay and Davis. I'm sorry. I didn't scroll down to catch you. Go ahead, Jay.
Thank you very much. I'm a first-time caller and love your show. I've been listening for a few months now. I am one of those young people that Obama has been going after.
Uh-huh.
Although I must say that I am, although I am a supporter, I am not a, I'm a little skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
It's just based off of various things that I have heard and what I've been hearing, but
I think that's quite healthy.
Thank you, I appreciate that. But what I really wanted to bring up actually is the topic of Benazir Bhutto. And when I was listening to Randy Rhodes sometime shortly after the assassination took place, like it was within a week or a few days or something, mm-hmm. and I heard a clip that she that purportedly was Ms. Bhutto just before she was assassinated, and it was quite chilling because if indeed this was her in an interview, what she says is it's really unbelievable.
Well, I have seen the clip, and it was Benazir Bhutto. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
And what she stated was that Osama bin Laden has already been killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I haven't heard anybody mention this or investigate or, you know, any mm-hmm. sort of anything. And so, that's a little chilling to me.
Yes, it is. And I can't really square it. I don't know precisely, you know, what she was referring to.
Sure.
And I personally haven't researched it any further, but I would like to know. I would like to know more about that.
Yeah, and I would also like to know what kind of implications that might have for our election, because I would say the current administration could do anything.
Well, let's just now, you don't have to connect these, Jay, and you already said that you've got some skepticism about Obama, so keep your skepticism software loaded and running. All right.
Sure.
But what if Osama's already dead?
Right.
Consider that Dick Cheney was there in the Capitol at the State of the Union message on Monday, instead of being, you know, secured at an undisclosed location.
Yes.
So he may project fear to us,
right.
But they don't seem to be as afraid as they used to be.
Yeah,
and
I
so I'm not really trying to connect those two. But
no. Of course not. To me, it seems outlandish. But
mm-hmm. Well, there are so many unanswered questions like that that
right.
Unfortunately we are left to be suspicious and cynical,
mm-hmm.
and it does undermine all of it, the whole system and our confidence in it,
mm-hmm.
Starting with voting machines, the truth
right.
about 9/11, the incredible feeding trough for corporate America in Iraq, and, the list goes on and on. And
right.
there are many things that we deserve explanations to. We discussed one earlier today. That's the case of Sybil Edmonds.
And again, I was thinking about that as well,
yeah.
and how, I don't know, if that may one day be another dot connected into this whole thing, I don't know.
That's right. Well, Jay, I'm glad you're
yeah.
paying attention. I'm really glad you're listening to the show, and I'm even more excited that you called.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Jay.
Keep up the good work.
Good to talk to you. More calls coming up next. It's the Free Speech Zone, 888-5 Peter B. And you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous
Santa Barbara than Lucia. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I just got the news that made my day. Catherine's listening in Bethesda, Maryland. Yo. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls. All the lines are jammed right now. We'll work through them as quick as we can. Getting lots of reaction to John Edwards' withdrawal from the presidential campaign today, but that's not all people are talking about. Ed and Aptos, welcome to the program.
Greetings.
I just mailed a book to you today. It's on the way.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's Republican sex scandals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have about three things I'd like to talk about. First,
well, just pick two, because we don't have a lot of time.
Well, once, in Sunday's Chronicle, Mateer and Ross had a little piece saying that Bernie Ward needs some letters sent to the suits in New York.
New York, right.
Mickey Luckoff, the manager of KGO, wants to put them back on the air, but the higher-ups are... putting the kibosh on it.
Well, and Mickey Luckoff used to have pretty much unfettered authority at that radio station, but ABC sold it to a company called Citadel, and so he has new bosses, and perhaps he has to work through that transition. I don't know that, but I'm just speculating. I have talked to Bernie not for about 10 days or so, and he is hopeful that they will reverse course and let him go back on the air. But the disturbing part of that Chronicle article was that they reported that they actually did formally terminate him. He was suspended with pay for a while, and sometime in January, they ended that employment relationship. And they now talk about rehiring him, and, I don't know that that's a positive sign.
I didn't see that in it. But anyhow, that was my main thing.
Well,
also,
Google Bernie Ward Defense Fund. It's a lengthy URL, too much to give out on the air.
Yeah, well,
but I encourage people to support him.
Yeah, just Google Bernie Ward and it'll come up.
Yeah.
Edwards, I think, points out the need for publicly financed. I think it's all these guys, if they have low numbers, that the low numbers equate to low donations, and then they can't continue on with their... with their campaigns without any money.
Well, I agree. It's a fundamental issue, and we need to stop selling our candidates to corporate America. And it's true that Obama has more individual contributions and has taken in more over the web. But still, as people have pointed out today, he does not always allow the press into his fundraisers. And, he's got that Chicago background. And I learned about politics in Chicago. I worked in radio there when the original Boss Daily was running the city. And it operates under its own rules.
Yes. And lastly, as I was listening to you, my wife had in the background had... Hardball on.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is...
Is Chris in tears with Giuliani crashing?
I wasn't paying too much attention to that, but I saw Bro and Lott come on.
Oh, yeah.
So my question is, are they pimps or whores or both, all three of them?
I'll let that one linger. Thank you.
Okay.
Ed. Tom Unziker's on the line. He is riding his bicycle. He left on December 15th from Santa Cruz. And he is getting amazingly close to his destination of Washington, D.C., his mission to bring courage to Congress. And he's got cargo on the trailer of his bicycle carrying some balls in bags, and he's planning to deliver them. Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter B., and how are you?
Not too bad. You crossed over into North Carolina.
I am into North Carolina in Fayetteville, and you'll have to excuse me. I'm a little bit hoarse from growling and barking at dog packs.
Oh, you had a lot of dogs today, huh?
Yeah, I had up to 10 at one time.
Ooh, wow.
It was interesting.
And these redneck dogs out to bite into your spandex?
Well, I actually did get bitten, not today, a couple of days ago, but I luckily had on some neoprene overboots, and the dog got a mouthful of neoprene and shoe.
Mm-hmm.
But I unclipped and gave his buddy a little bit of a nudge, and they went away.
Yeah, and do you carry, like, doggy treats or a postal worker's pepper spray, or you just take them on?
I just take them on. I'm looking for some pepper spray, but I haven't been able to find anybody to sell me some yet.
Really? Oh, I would think you can get them from a vending machine in the South. But that's my liberal bias. You know how that is.
Okay.
I want to direct people to CourageToCongress.com and click on the link at the bottom of the homepage there for the map, and you can see the various stops that Tom has made on his route to Washington. And how many miles did you get in today?
Got 105, Peter B.
Wow. You're amazing for an old man.
Yeah, I'm going to be 60 in June. But somebody told me I was the ever-ready bunny.
Yeah. Well, listen, our lines are jammed today with people who are responding to John Edwards' withdrawal. Did you pick up any comments? South Carolina, of course, is his birth state. North Carolina is the state he represented in the Senate. Are the locals responding at all?
No real response. A couple of people saying they wish that he had stuck it out because they thought that he could broker.
Uh huh.
And that's sort of the way that I feel also. And I'm totally disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think, I do think it was inevitable given the direction of the campaigns to date and the lack of traction he has picked up. I just think his timing really sucks.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, a week before Super Tuesday, he could have been a real player in the convention if he'd stuck it out.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, Tom, I need to move along, but we'll talk to you again real soon, and rest your voice there. I would put a little scotch on it. That's what I've been doing without a prescription every night, and it appears to be working to help get rid of this cold.
Medicinal alcohol. Sounds great.
Okay, Tom, thanks a lot. That's Tom Unsicker. He's taking Courage to Congress, and I want you to visit his website, CourageToCongress.com. Now I feel a panic attack coming on. It's 20 minutes before the hour, and our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, checks in. Hi, Tommy.
How are you, Peter?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Feeling better every day.
Very good. I'm actually down in Simi Valley, California.
And how do we spell Simi? S-E-A-M-Y?
It's S-I-M-I.
All right.
It's not Seedy Valley. I'm just outside the Reagan Presidential Library. Of course, Wednesday's big story. You've been discussing it. Rudy G. is out. John Edwards is out. Had nothing to do with Edwards' hair. Although I do hear the big networks are interested in both Edwards and Mormon Mitt Romney as anchors because of the hair.
Yeah.
I mean, for a guy, it's all you need to succeed in TV.
Well,
if you're a woman,
teeth.
Breasts and white teeth.
Yeah, well, these two guys have good teeth, too, both Edwards.
They do. But it's not the story that I bring you today. The Republicans debate as I speak, with John McCain now considered the favorite following the victory in Florida. But I have the story that may or may not solidify his standing as the Republican candidate. I'll let the political pundits, the so-called experts, debate that. This is interesting. With Rudy G. announcing his departure today, throwing his support behind John McCain, I need people to know he did not do that out of the goodness of his heart. The past 24 hours saw some serious negotiating, some bidding for what is the 9/11 franchise.
Oh, really?
And this includes, of course, your basic fear-mongering, also exploiting the downing of the Twin Towers, whoever did it, and those who lost their lives for political gain. The 9/11 franchise also will include consulting from Giuliani Partners,
mm-hmm.
The firm he formed, of course, while on his way out the door as mayor. He'll help the McCain campaign better work the good old war on terror into his talking points. You'll probably hear some of that as you watch the debate tonight. They'll also consult on how to be a scumbag, but convince the American public you're all about what's good and right. But wait, there's more. You also get former New York Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik. He's a partner.
That's the Ginsu knife bonus.
Exactly. But wait, there's more. This guy's a partner in Giuliani's firm. The guy, of course, whose nomination as head of Homeland Security would go down in flames, right. To the benefit of Michael Chertoff. But he will not only provide security for the McCain campaign, but also, if desired, a whole stable of mistresses, as well as love nests throughout most of North America. That's pretty nice. Now, Mitt Romney, we know, is worth like $270 million, but it's McCain forking out the dough, the terms are undisclosed, and attaining the franchise. Now, I know Mike Huckabee won Iowa, but when he and Chuck Norris exit the race, it's going to be interesting to see which Republican will wind up with the God franchise
right
on their side. I mean, the religious right, those evangelicals, that's a lot of votes, but we don't know yet. But maybe more important than that, Chuck Norris on your side. How could you lose? Well, if you're Mike Huckabee, you probably will. But again, just in summary, McCain acquiring the 9/11 franchise from Rudy G, and again, look for the integration of that as early as tonight's debate. But Peter, reporting from Simi Valley, California, Tommy Panic on the campaign trail.
Tommy, thank you for that exclusive report. I have TiVo running to catch the debate. I will look for those 9/11 references, and also I'm going to keep a scorecard on how many times they invoke the memory of Ronald Reagan. Pre-Alzheimer's, of course.
Of course. All right. Have a good night, Peter.
Thank you, Tommy. Always a pleasure. Now to Mike in Sacramento, listening on 1240 Talk City. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Peter. Hi. This is actually Philip.
Okay, Philip, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say I feel completely disenfranchised as a voter now. I got off my butt this year and changed my registration so that I could vote for the candidate that I wanted, Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah.
And Edwards was my second choice, and now I feel like I just really have no choice at all.
It is dispiriting, and in many ways, I hate to see the competition end so early in the primary season, because even just tomorrow night, there's a debate on CNN, and John Edwards won't be there. And sure, he secured an agreement from both Obama and Clinton to make poverty a central issue. But hey, you know, they're not going to be speaking as authentically as John Edwards has on those matters.
No, there's not a candidate in there that'll really bring about a progressive agenda now.
Nobody's going to pick up his baton and attack the excesses of corporate America. Because, of course, John Edwards was described as angry by pundits in the media, and we can't have anger in our politics.
No, that would do no good.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
That's about it.
All right. Let's go to Silver Spring, Maryland. Hello, Carol. How are you?
Hi, Peter. Maybe Edwards is being pragmatic. After all, you were supportive of Edwards, but you were voting for Obama.
That's right.
I contribute to Edwards' campaign, and I was going to vote for him February 12th, so I'm disappointed I won't get the chance.
Yeah.
But I'm a little angry at you and another one of my favorite talk show hosts for espousing that pragmatic approach to voting, which may have influenced others in your audiences to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, Carol.
Added to those who jumped the bandwagon because it's more important about voting for a winner instead of voting for somebody's...
Okay, but Carol, you're misrepresenting my position, because I'm not trying to vote for a winner. I am trying to stop...
No, I don't think you are. I know what you're trying to
do. I'm trying to stop Hillary Clinton from becoming the Democratic nominee.
Right.
That's my pragmatism.
But I'm saying all the pragmatic approach and those who just want to vote for a winner... Maybe Edwards just thought that was insurmountable and was not going to do him any good.
All right. Well, Carol, I appreciate your perspective. Thanks for calling,
Peter, even though you're angry.
I'm
angry at you today, but I'll be listening tomorrow, and I'm hoping the Democratic president gives Edwards the attorney general post where he can put the criminals in jail.
That'll be great. Carol, I spent some time working at a radio station on Georgia Avenue in Silver Spring, so it's great to hear from you.
It's great to hear you, too.
All right. Thanks for checking in. And unlike Susan in Eureka, Carol's angry today, but she's going to stay tuned, and I appreciate that. We're going to take a break and return for more of your calls here in the Free Speech Zone. There's a line or two open if you want to join us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Watch out for that rock slide in Santa Cruz County. This is Highway 9 at 236 Rock Slide, actually blocking half of the roadway there. So crews just about on scene. We're going to push that out of the way, but you still got to make your way around it. Watsonville, Elkhorn Road at Strawberry Canyon Road got a solo vehicle accident. This is a van. It spun out, went off the roadway about 15 feet down the embankment on the right-hand shoulder. So this is an injury accident. Emergency crews as well as a tow truck on scene working to clear that up. Ben Lomond, southbound 9, just as you're approaching Glen Arbor Road. Got an accident there. This is two vehicles mixed it up. They have both managed to limp themselves over to the right-hand shoulder. CHP is well on scene, just taking a report before they move out of there. Be aware of some long-term road work that's going on in Santa Cruz. Emmeline Avenue off-ramp from northbound 1. That off-ramp is shut down. This is long-term road work. So this cone's officially not scheduled to be picked up until summertime. Don't let diarrhea stop you. Stop diarrhea fast with Kaopectate. Unlike pills, Kaopectate speeds to the source, shutting down diarrhea and its uncomfortable symptoms. Always ask for Kaopectate. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's KRXA Traffic.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, west of the Mississippi, along the Pacific coast, in California, below Davenport, above Lucia, and west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee Topia. 10 minutes before the hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I just want to give a kudo to my great producer, Katrina Rill. Fabulous show today, if I do say so ourselves. Let's go to Eureka. Marianne's on the line listening to KGOE. Hello, Marianne.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing okay.
I was just checking out John Edwards' OneCore site online, which was the site where we all kind of galvanized our action for him here on the North Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to receive probably 6 emails a day from the Edwards campaign, and I hadn't received anything for 9 days, so I suspected something was going on a while ago.
That's odd.
And of course, 2 hours ago, he sent all of us a group email that said that he had resigned today, of course, and thanking us for our effort and whatnot. And I guess what I found really sad about that was when I went onto the OneCore site, we had had a whole bunch of people sign up just in the last 3 days to support him, and we were really getting ready to get this thing going as we headed towards Super Tuesday. So I'm pretty sad about that.
Yeah. I mean, we've said this before, so I won't beat it to death. I just don't understand his timing.
You know, there's a lot of blogs on this site about the fact that I don't even know what to make of this. Who knows what goes on behind the scenes, but a lot of people were talking about a hopeful vice presidential candidate for Obama.
Yeah, but he would have been strengthened in that quest either by endorsing him at the time of his withdrawal. He declined to do that today. Or by hanging in till at least next week, gathering up as many delegates as he could, and then trading them to Obama.
Absolutely. And a lot of us with the absentee ballots, we've already wasted our vote because they went for Edwards, and that's really disturbing to me.
It is, yeah. Marianne, thanks for listening. Great to hear from you today.
All right, thank you, and thanks for having come to Eureka a while ago. I enjoyed meeting you.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Let's see, line two, Roger, Cape Valley. Go ahead.
Philip, it bothers me, or Peter, is that...
Phil Collins is a rock star. Yeah. I don't have that skill.
I'm sorry about that. Hey, is Edwards' withdrawal, it's disappointing because, he's functional. And Obama and Hillary, to me, aren't acceptable because they do consensus solutions. You know, if you have a community with a problem, either Obama or Clinton would be great to go in there and organize people to try to deal with their problem, but they don't precipitate solutions. My tendency is to go with McCain, and mainly because he was an officer in the service and he's part of the genre that I was from.
Ouch.
And I think that you could talk him into
Roger, are you a progressive? Are you a progressive or are you a moderate?
I'm pretty progressive. I volunteered, for example, cartoon for 3 newspapers for free and stuff like that. I do a lot of volunteer work. I mean,
But Roger, do you know John McCain's voting record?
I know that he's pretty conservative. All I know is he was a military officer, and I think that because of the war, see, that's what.
Yeah, but he is hard.
Problem solving.
But Roger, he is hard right on every issue except immigration.
Right. And what's real important to me is the Indian workforce because of the infantry allied productions. And so that's one reason why I would support him.
Gosh, Roger, that's a pretty minor issue. What about his support for occupation in Iraq for 100 years?
Well,
I mean, come on, get real, man.
Well, wait a second. What I'm thinking is that we would have bases there that are offset from that society, and that society would evolve independent of us. We're not going to conquer the society. We're going to withdraw from the society.
Yeah, and keep
the platform
and keep bases there for 100 years.
Well, the permanency is strange. It's like with us in England or us in Germany right now. I mean, we should withdraw those. Why do we have bases in Germany? Why do we need them there?
Okay, you're not going to persuade me that John.
No, I know I'm not going to.
You're not going to persuade me that John McCain will end the bases in Germany or in Iraq. And I'm sorry, he's a.
I think it would be Hillary and Edwards would work probably for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because Hillary, after she cried and then she made a remark after the first event they had.
Yeah.
And she was pretty real. I mean, I saw a piece of Yale in her that's analytical, quick, and responsive and defensive. But I'd like to. I could see her having Edwards, because the difference is Edwards will come up with solutions and present a structure in which people can provide, functionality. Whereas I'm concerned that what Hillary will do, we'll get a committee of experts to go, to help her. But what will happen is those experts will be chosen by, other organized groups, whether they're corporate or political or.
All right, Roger, I got to run. I want to recommend the latest issue of the New Yorker. It just came in my mailbox yesterday. And there's a great story that contrasts the styles of Obama and Clinton. And I'll comment on that in a future program. Steve in Elk Grove, welcome to the program today.
Okay, a little bit of short time stuff. First of all, I think people should be aware that there are procedures for presenting treason to the federal courts that are required by federal law. And you can either take it to the president, a governor, a state judge, or a federal judge. And you're obligated to do that as soon as may be under 18 U.S.C. 2382. If you don't do it, you can go to federal prison 7 years for each offense. I've done it a few times involving nuclear weapons even.
Okay. All right, then can you prepare a brief for Henry Waxman?
Oh, I probably could, or I could talk to him about it. I mean, it's in the law, but the thing is the judges have an obligation to get these disclosures. You don't have to file a case. You don't have to be literate. You don't have to be a citizen. You don't have to be a lawyer. You could even be a convicted felon. It doesn't matter. The Congress requires that as soon as maybe you get that information to the federal courts.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't understand why people that work in the FBI don't understand that, but then again, I can because I've had FBI agents ordering me to not call a judge on a telephone that's appointed me to be a special federal prosecutor when there's no other way I can get in touch with the judge.
All right, Steve, we're getting too far into the weeds there, but thanks for your call today. John in Carmel Valley, got a minute here. What's on your mind?
Yesterday you were pointing out that Steny Hoyer could be the replacement for Nancy Pelosi, and I just want to point out that if he is the super kiss-up you were pointing out, and I think he is, Lincoln had to go through no end of generals before he got Grant. And we may have to go through no end of creepy, corrupt, and unprincipled politicians before we get somebody who will do what we want and need to have done, which is to get Bush, the brakes on Bush, and get investigations, serious investigations, going.
Well, I hear you. I don't think it's going to happen. And I played the Waxman clip today to give you an idea of how a 30-year veteran of the House is willing to pass and talk down to us about this process. So I understand your point, and you know, I still feel that if we elect more progressive Democrats, there is a better shot at having leadership that has principles, that stands on them and fights for them.
But the general election is a year away. Bush, without putting impeachment on the table, Bush has a year to be an even greater ruinator than he's already been.
All right, John, I'm out of time. Trigger's here to ride me off into the sunset. Thanks for your call today.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to do this again tomorrow. I hope you'll join me.
Keep smiling until then.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines, that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered, to my extreme surprise, that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Two struggling presidential candidates pulled the plug on their campaigns today. Rudy Giuliani threw his support to a Republican rival.
I am very proud to endorse my friend, John McCain of Arizona, for President of the United States of America.
Tomorrow, reportedly, McCain will be endorsed by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Giuliani, early on, was the front runner, but CBS News chief political correspondent Jeff Greenfield says he faded as the public got to know him better.
The stories about one of his top aides, Bernard Kerik, all the stories about his now wife, then girlfriend, and whether she was being given police protection, that was about as unhelpful a set of stories as you could have. I think for some Republicans, the strained relations between Giuliani and his children made them very uncomfortable about him.
John Edwards appeared with his children to announce that he's quitting the race. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod has that.
I am suspending my campaign for the Democratic nomination for the presidency.
0-for-4 in primaries and caucuses, behind in cash and delegates, and coming off a drubbing in his native South Carolina, John Edwards decided it was time to go.
Do not give up on the causes that we have fought for. Do not walk away from what's possible.
The timing seems odd, if only because he repeatedly said he was staying in through Super Tuesday. Aides say it has nothing to do with his wife's illness.
Elizabeth Edwards was also there today. She's been treated for a recurrence of breast cancer, but says she is said to be doing well. The Fed, warning that downside risks to economic growth remain, cut interest rates by another 0.5% today. That's what Wall Street wanted to hear, but it didn't want to hear the bad news that came out at the end of the day. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has that.
The Fed has another headache. Standard & Poor's just announced it may cut its ratings on more than $500 billion worth of subprime mortgage securities. That means Wall Street banks could face hundreds of billions of dollars more in subprime losses.
The Dow spiked after the rate was announced, but closed 37 points lower at 12,442. President Bush is annoyed. Today, the Senate Finance Committee started tinkering with the economic stimulus plan.
The Senate ought to accept the House package, pass it, and get it to my desk as soon as possible.
Senators say they'll be quick, but they want the stimulus payments to include millions of seniors on social